talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey guys, you wanna know what I wish your show sounded like? Take the hint.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Lisa, may I love you? Can I put it in your Lisa May? Can I shove it in your?
Well, we all are impatient. We don't like to put off things, and we want what we want when we want it. And sometimes we end up spending a lot of time and money, and then sadly we don't end up with what we really wanted.
And now,
all the ladies at the party, come on and shake your boobies, yeah. Who likes to rock the party?
I like to rock the party.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Tuesday morning.
I just saw something I wish I hadn't seen.
What's that?
I'm afraid to ask.
Have you guys seen the video? It's gone viral now of the Cleveland Browns tailgate.
No.
Well, it was from when did they beat the Bengals? Was it this past Sunday, right? So it's just from this past Sunday, the day that Cleveland won. There's a bunch of guys in the parking lot tailgating like they do, and somehow they filled up a plastic bucket with urine. And then the conversation gets around to exactly where you would expect, which is how much would it take for someone to dunk their head into that bucket of urine? And Phil is the guy who eventually, after some haggling, accepted the challenge, and he rips off his shirt. And
wait, how much? Well,
I'm going to get to
that. Okay, you'll get to
into the sentence.
That's all I care about.
And he rips off his shirt, and he douses himself in Purell before dunking, and I'm sure after as well. And there's some talk of $100, and then there's some talk of $200, and then there's what about my wife, and oh, she'll never find out, and then there's they settle on $450.
Not bad.
$450. He dunks as he gets down on his knees and just dunks his head right into a completely full bucket of urine.
Oh.
I do have some audio here. I
fantastic.
Just now heard it for the first time, so have your finger on the button in case anybody's yelling anything obscene from the outside of the video. But here we go.
Mama, don't! Phil, don't do it!
This is what I love, by the way. When the friends are trying to talk Phil into doing it, all of them are saying, do it, do it. And then once he agrees to the $450
sure.
and he gets close to doing it, they're all like, don't do it, don't
yeah,
do
course.
It. I don't want to see it.
Hey, Phil, hey, it's got to be a good dunk. It's got to be a good dunk. Don't do it.
All right, so somebody, they get tired of him stalling, so they start a countdown. Here it goes. And he puts his head in, and it just splashes everywhere. He's only in there for a second. But like we always talk about, you can survive almost anything for a second. Even, you know, no matter how horrible it is, you're done. Like, he's done. Like, it's over now. And all he has to do is wash his head, and he's got $450. I don't know.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it, I just said.
Muggs would.
But maybe it's not a bad idea.
$450?
It's a lot of dough, dude. I mean, that's a car payment or,
it's
you know,
sterile.
A,
we
rent?
Always hear it's sterile.
It's a lot of scratch, man.
Maybe $450.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, he's tough to negotiate with.
Just you got to make sure, like, you keep your eyes so closed and your mouth so closed and your nose.
Yeah, he didn't wrap his head in bandages or anything like that. I mean, there's no question that pee went into every orifice in his head.
It did.
It's in his ears. It's in his nose. It's in his eyes. Probably
went in his mouth.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it's worth it.
This is before the game?
Yes.
This is before the game.
Yeah. And so, I'm also wondering, and I believe it's real. It looks super real to me. But how do you fill up, like? How was the decision made?
A lot of people. Oh, I see.
Much earlier in the day was the decision made? All right, at some point we're going to talk somebody into putting their head in this, so let's all pee into this?
Probably, yeah.
Well, maybe Maybe they always just pee in a bucket because they're in the parking lot for 2 hours.
Drinking beer?
Before they go into the game and they don't have any place else to go. Maybe that's what they always do.
What a bunch of girls you guys are.
You do it for 450?
Urine is sterile.
I know.
It comes
that's
out of
what
your body
say,
sterile. Well, you know why they say it? Because it's science.
Well, I know, but then putting your head in it is a different thing than just acknowledging that it's sterile.
Yeah, but it's not like you're going to get anything from urine. You're much worse off walking bare feet in the parking lot than you are sticking your head in a bucket of urine.
It's still unpleasant, Ralph.
It's not. Yeah, it's unpleasant, but you're acting like, oh, my God, it went in every orifice. Oh, he had urine in his ears. Like, what possible difference could that make?
I don't know, but I don't want it.
But that's why they're paying you $450 to do it. If you wanted it, you'd do it for free.
Does that seem like a reasonable amount of money to do this?
Hell
this challenge,
yes. $450 to dunk your head for a second in a bucket of urine?
You
give me
do
that
it.
Deal every day.
You wouldn't
all
do
day
it.
Long, twice on Sundays.
You're talking big right
we'll
now.
We'll hook it up. A bucket.
We'll hook it up.
I don't believe you, Ralph.
Well,
I don't believe you.
Well, you're wrong. Urine is like one of those least offensive bodily fluids. I'd rather stick my head in a bucket of urine than a bucket of spit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Totally.
But
I don't
know.
Yeah.
Filled with bacteria
yeah, that's
and
true.
All kinds of heinous things that come out of the human mouth.
Yeah, that is true. But those aren't your choices either. Your choices are to stick your head in a bucket of urine or not stick your head in anything.
Or yeah. For a guy who's working on the line in Ohio making widgets.
True.
$450 in his pocket or not have $450 in his pocket. It's an absolutely good deal.
He can buy a lot of beer with that $450.
Hell yeah.
Make his own
wow.
bucket.
Just saying, toughen up, ladies. That's all I'm saying. Toughen up.
I think the idea of it is worse than the actual chemistry of it or whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying. I wouldn't do it.
Really? You wouldn't be the guy who sticks his head in urine?
You wouldn't be the bold, adventurous guy at the tailgate party who would stick his head in a bucket of urine? And all of those things you wouldn't be before we even got to the bucket of urine.
I'm not alone here. Kevin wouldn't do it. Lisa wouldn't do it. It's only you and Beer Mug at this point who would say yes.
But Ralph says yes sober. I think if I had a drink in me, that I'd go right with yes.
I think Phil has plenty of drinks in him in this video. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Everything's a good idea when you're drunk, funny, whatever.
All right, so Ralph says Phil made a good bargain there.
Absolutely. Phil is a winner.
Ralph loves pee.
Phil is a winner today.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a little bit of a turn-on for Argar.
Yeah.
I love pee.
Yeah, that's the point of my story. Thank you once again, Kevin, for crystallizing my thoughts as I come in here.
You're welcome.
Thank God you're going to translate for me.
Would you do it for 400?
Look, I make more money than Phil does.
Yeah.
So it would have to be in terms of the proportion,
right.
The money I was getting, I'd have to make more than $450 because I don't need the $450.
Oh, now you wouldn't do it for $450.
No, but
that's
saying if it was
proportionate to my income, to whatever that is to Phil's income, then absolutely I would do it.
All right, what's your number then?
But I don't need the $450.
But that's not important what the number is. The proportion is what's...
Yeah.
I mean,
no, it is important what the number is because we need to set it up. That's why it's important what the number is.
I don't know, a couple grand.
That's pretty tempting.
Mug said he'd do it for $450.
Well, yeah, again, because Mug's would more.
$4.50, though, is what Mugs would do it for. That's proportionate to his income.
I've worked long and hard in my career to get above the $450 stick your head in a bucket of pee stage. That's been my whole goal in my career. It's like, I someday would like to have enough money where I don't have to stick my head in a bucket of pee for $450.
Yeah, that's how you get money, is sticking your head in pee, too. Bean, how old was the guy? Does he look like he's in his 20s? Does he look like he's in his 40s?
He looks like he's in his, I would say, 30s.
30s, okay.
Yeah, young guy, super good shape, and he doesn't look, he's not stumbling around like he's super drunk. I think he had his faculties about him to make the choice that the money was worth the trade-off.
Sure.
Good times.
I'll have to try that.
All right.
Do it on stage at the Miss W December competition.
We'll pay one of the contestants.
Does one dive off a high board into a pool of pee? And the kids will go crazy.
How much do you want to be Miss Double D?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Represent.
Nope. That should never come out of your mouth, Lisa.
Oh, come on.
Bean's Death Corner today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bean loves human death. He just
is
fascinated by it. So
I'm just sad that Phil survived the bucket of urine.
Yeah. We're going to tell you more about the Million Muppet March, which we think you'll want to find out. We have comedian Mike Birbiglia on the program today.
Fantastic.
We are going to talk to My Little Pony pedophiles today.
They're not pedophiles.
What's that?
You have to stop that. They just enjoy a TV show. That's it.
That's what I meant.
Doesn't even involve kids. Just them watching TV.
Right. At that stage. I'm with you. I love them. I want to take them home. Sally Ann Salsano is going to be here. She is. She does a TV show called Tattoo Nightmares on Spike. And we've discussed that many different times and how so many different tattoos go south. So we're going to have her on the program as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the showbiz beat and the guy who will definitely dunk his head in pee, Ralph Garman.
Kevin, me listener Mike asked a good question about our friend Phil in Cleveland who dunked his head into a bucket of urine for $450.
Yeah.
If he's a huge Browns fan, he's out there tailgating every game, probably superstitious like most football fans, and the Browns won that game for the first time all year, does he now have to dunk his head in urine every game?
I believe
Depends.
So.
Was it after the game or before the game?
This was before the game.
Before the game.
Before the game. Then he has to.
Yeah.
Has to.
I guess he has to.
Imagine if they went on a tear of winning like 10 in a row.
They win the Super Bowl. You don't want to know what he has to dunk his head into. You don't want to know.
You don't. An all-new Beaton's Death Quarter coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. It's 5:56.
It is a Tuesday, as my friend Steve Jones would say, October the 16th. And because it's Tuesday, that means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD are released. Here's what you can pick up with your entertainment dollar. Former Lives by Benjamin Gibbard.
New CD. I'm excited about that.
I'm not familiar with Benjamin Gibbard.
He's the lead singer for Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Red by Taylor Swift. Also available on CD.
Stop it.
Dave's wrong about that, by the way. It comes out on next Tuesday.
Well, take it up with your butt buddy, Dave King.
Believe me. I know where the Taylor Swift album comes out.
On DVD, we've got That's My Boy, starring Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg.
Yes.
Anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
Not even
anyone?
Me.
Anyone? Anyone?
Not
what,
even me.
What if I give you a free copy of the DVD if you stick your head in a bucket of urine? Anyone?
Then
anyone?
Yes, then I'm in.
Okay. Madagascar 3. Those animals, they just are crazy. They just can't get home. Hey, I also believe, besides it being released on DVD, there is a special bonus pack that includes a rainbow fright wig. Because the clowns wear those rainbow wigs in the movie, so you can get a free wig, too. Anyone?
That's worth it.
Chernobyl Diaries, starring Jonathan Sadowski. That's that horror movie about the kids who go to...
They look good. I never saw it, but it
Chernobyl,
good.
And all of a sudden, creatures start running around behind the scenes and stuff. Mutated.
Love it.
Russian zombie, nuclear zombies. 2016, Obama's America. That documentary about President Obama that did so well in theaters is available today. And Moonrise Kingdom. I saw this goddamn movie, and I recommend it highly. Just a genius piece of work by...
Paul Anderson.
Paul Anderson, yeah, exactly. Starring Bruce Willis and Bill Murray. Boy, I love this movie. I had a lot of time. My buddy Jason Schwartzman's also in it.
It's way quirky, but...
Very.
But interesting.
But just adorable, and it's like a Norman Rockwell painting. It's just it's so much fun. TV shows on DVD, Mad Men season 5. If you want to catch up before Mad Men returns, I believe it's 2018 when we get to see new Mad Men episodes. Psych season 6, Touch, the complete first season.
I like that show.
That was Kiefer Sutherland, right? His kid is autistic, but he's got magical math powers.
He has magical math powers.
And Alcatraz, the complete series. Since Alcatraz is no longer, they can put the whole thing together for you.
But there was no ending.
But, or was there?
Well, I don't think so. I watched it.
Oh, then
I don't think there was any ending. Why would you get the box set?
I'm just throwing that out there, because maybe you like mysteries that can't be solved.
Ralph, I thought Touch was gone. Is that coming back?
I thought that, too, but...
It says a complete first season. Usually they don't say that if it's going to
I thought so, too, but then they started teasing the upcoming episodes, which was shocking. But
I am not up to date on my Touch info. Sorry about that. It's a good day for Kevin.
Why is that?
Scarlett Johansson and her boyfriend broke up, Kevin.
I'm next. This is great.
Are you on the list?
I think I'm next.
You better check the list.
I've been on the on-deck circle for quite some time now.
She broke up with boyfriend Nate Taylor last week after about a year together. Source adding, he's pretty upset. Yeah, I bet he is. A lot of people were surprised it lasted this long. Scarlett was spotted holding hands with former boyfriend Jared Leto at the Democratic National Convention
earlier
this year.
What does he have that I don't?
Let me think. Oh, wait a minute. It says it right here. Everything. And, of course, she was married to Ryan Reynolds for 2 years, divorced him in December of 2010. So, Scarlett's on the open market. If you can get that Jared Leto out of the way, you're in shape.
I had a date with her one night.
No, so you didn't.
Me and
you did. You stood her up. You stood her up, but you had a date with her.
But at least you paid $7,500, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
$7,000. Right? I probably blew my chance to approach her again after standing her up the first time. I guess.
I think you're right. Sad news. BMX bicycle world champion motocross racer Kyle Bennett has passed away.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Touching sound effect tribute.
He was nicknamed Butter for his fluid style. He died Sunday near his home in Texas after an accident in his pickup truck. All the stuff that guy did on a bicycle, he buys it in a pickup truck. He was apparently in a rush to see his fiance, who had just called him and said her car had been broken into. So he tears off in his pickup truck to come to the rescue, but he was not belted up. He didn't have his seatbelt on. He was going so fast, the pickup left the road. He hit a culvert pipe, several trees before landing upside down.
Mm. Wow.
Kyle was just 33 years old. Besides his fiance, he also had a young daughter named Kylie. So there's just nothing good about this story. Mm-hmm. Unless it serves as a warning to always wear your seatbelt, people, no matter where you're going or what you're doing. Sad news. Here, this will make you feel better. We have our first Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart sighting.
They're back together?
I was trying to think, what did they call them when they were together? What was that? That's why I paused. What was their media?
K-Stew.
K-Stew. K-Stew, that's it. Our first K-Stew stuff. No, sheesh, K-Stew. Yeah, what were they together? Wasn't there a media tag for both of them together?
I don't know. You have to make one up.
I guess I am. Pat Stew. Stew-Pat. How about that?
Stew-Pat?
Yeah.
Fine.
The rare public appearance since they got back together again. They were out for cocktails last Sunday night. At a hipster joint here in Southern California called Ye Rustic Inn. Apparently they came in, had a few cocktails, and were all lovey-dovey. So it looks like it's official. They're back on again. So all you twi-tards can exhale.
Or they're contractually obligated to start talking because they have a movie to promote that opens in a month.
But they wouldn't contractually obligate them to go out to a hipster bar and sit down and have cocktails.
How do you know?
They make them show up again at the premiere, but what do you get out of the hipster douchebaggery bar?
It lays the foundation so that you believe it when they show up.
Aha, aha, I see.
They're actors.
Genius. Today's celebrity birthdays, excuse me, actress Suzanne Somers is 66 years old today. Listen, I know you don't have this category, Kevin, but for a 66-year-old, you'd be hard-pressed to get better than Suzanne Somers.
All right.
She's doing all right these days. Guitarist Bob Weir, he was in a band called The Grateful Dead, kids. Back in the olden times, there was a band called The Grateful Dead, and Bob Weir was guitarist for that band. He's 65 years old. Movie director, screenwriter, producer David Zucker, who gave us The Naked Gun and Airplane. He is 65 years old today. Actor-director Tim Robbins turns 54. Our buddy Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 50. Jeremy Jackson, who played Hobie, David Hasselhoff's son on Baywatch, is 32 years old. Remember him on Celebrity Rehab? He seemed like a good dude.
Yeah.
An actress, Brea Grant. She's just adorable. She was in Dexter. She played the intern that Machito trying to bang, the little cute little blonde. She was also on Heroes.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
That's right.
She's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Funny man Mike Birbiglia joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk all things My Little Pony and Tattoos Gone Wrong. Tattooed Nightmare, I guess, is the name of the new show. So we got a lot of programs still ahead. And right now, it's time for a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
So much sweet death going on all around us, and every once in a while we'd like to compile it all together in one bite-sized capsule for you with Bean's Death Corner. Let's start in Brazil today, Kevin.
Most of us don't consider it sweet death, but Bean does.
He loves it.
Hilda Vitor Maciel, Rio de Janeiro, 88 years old. She's already very sick. She's in the hospital, and then something went terribly wrong when one of the nursing technicians accidentally injected soup into her veins instead of her feeding tube.
Oh, no. They put soup in her feeding tube?
Yeah, they put soup into her veins is what they did. Yeah, this according to, by the way, a remarkable new website that I've just been turned on to called HispanicallySpeakingNews.com. How's that for a weird name for a website?
That is strange.
When she injected into my vein, into my mother's vein, my mother began to get very sick. I called, got scared, and I called the nurse, said my sales daughter. Hospital officials acknowledged that the woman was injected with soup by mistake, but they say, as all hospitals do, they don't believe that's what caused her death.
Right.
However, the information sheet signed by the doctor at the hospital says pulmonary embolism was the probable cause of death, which does support the claim that the soup is probably what killed her. I mean, she did make it to 88, but what a shame to go on just a technical mistake like
that.
How
do you want to die?
I don't know. I think soup in my veins.
Here's a story that all of Southern California has been talking about since the weekend. I'm sure you saw this. An employee at Bumblebee Foods in Santa Fe Springs killed on the job in one of the worst possible ways you can imagine. He's working in a tuna factory, and that's not a euphemism, Lisa.
I know.
He was steamed to death inside an industrial oven.
He was basic. It was a pressure cooker.
Oh, yes.
And they're having trouble. I mean, they know it's him, but they're having trouble identifying his body.
Yeah. Even with teeth
because
and
of
all
the
that?
Damage.
Oh, my God.
That is the most horrifying thing I have heard. In
I think it's worse than fire.
Yes.
Being killed by steam.
Oh, dear God.
I mean, if you've ever had, again, not a euphemism, a blast of steam on your face from taking something out of the oven or off the stove or something like that, you know how quickly and how painful it can be in such a hurry. Imagine that over your whole body. He was 62 years old, Jose Molina. Investigation is ongoing right now. The entire Bumblebee Foods family is saddened by the tragic loss of our colleague, and our thoughts and prayers are with the Molina family, says the Bumblebee Foods vice president. But yeah, that's never the way to go right there.
No.
That's no good.
No.
Here's a bizarre story out of Chicago. Here's a retired Chicago police officer who retired back in 1998, I want to say. He was a homicide cop, a detective for 42 years. He's sitting in his living room with his son watching the Jay Leno show.
Mistake number one.
Sets you up for trouble right there, right? Well, apparently dad falls asleep while Jay Leno's on, as we all do, by the way. And the son goes out. But the dad, when he wakes up and he's on the couch, he thinks the son has gone to bed, so he thinks everybody's tucked in for the night. Then when he hears somebody coming in the back door, he then assumes that it's a burglar, and he pulls out his gun and shoots the intruder in the head.
Oh.
And yeah, as you can imagine, it was just his son coming back because he had gone out.
My God, why are you applauding that?
How crazy is that story? And by the way, from a trained police officer, 42 years as a cop, you think you would have a positive ID before you shoot. But in his mind, hey, my son's already tucked in. Who's this breaking into my house, right? No bueno.
Headshot,
no bueno,
indeed. That's what he's going for immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Authorities in Oregon are investigating how a farmer was eaten by his own pigs after his partially consumed remains were discovered in an enclosure on his farm. Look, I've had pigs. They're big. They're 600-700 pounds. You can get knocked down. I don't think mine would have eaten me, but that's apparently what happened to Terry Vance Garner, 69 years old, never returned after he set out to feed his animals last Wednesday on his farm near the Oregon coast. They found his dentures and pieces of his body in the hog enclosure several hours later.
Wow.
That's all that was left. They're saying they're still investigating. It could have been a medical emergency, such as a heart attack. It might have had nothing to do with the pigs being aggressive, or he could have been knocked over and then killed and eaten. They just don't know, but right now they're still investigating all the possibilities. What was the... gosh, I shouldn't bring this up if I don't know, but what was the movie? Wasn't it one of the Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, it was
sequels,
one of the,
right?
Yeah.
Where that's how they got rid of the bodies, is they threw it into a pig pen, basically. Here's one more that involves an animal killing its owner. This one in Delaware, Ohio. An Ohio Sheriff's Department says that a woman has been struck by her pet llama that was trying to greet her and has died. She apparently had a heart attack. She was knocked over by her llama named Baby Doll and slipped on wet grass. The llama slipped on wet grass while running to greet her and knocked her down. She hit her head on the concrete and had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
There is no evidence that the llama was acting maliciously. So that could just have been a tragic llama accident, because we all know those could happen.
It's a good thing.
The llama was running to greet her.
And finally, and this is perhaps the saddest of all, because this involves our men in uniform, a soldier trying to scare another soldier out of hiccups accidentally shot his comrade in the face, killing him on Tuesday.
Oh, no.
Dear God.
Both soldiers, joined by a third man, were drinking alcohol and watching football at the time of the Sunday night incident. The victim had the hiccups. The suspect pulled out a gun in order to scare him to stop the hiccups. This happened in Killeen, Texas, by the way, where they have a big contingent of soldiers there. He was just 22 years old, by the way. Private First Class Isaac Lawrence Young of Ash Grove, Missouri. was the guy with the hiccups. Don't you think if you're in the Army, you know how to what to do and what not to do with a gun at this point, right?
Oh, I think maybe you become too familiar with it. You don't understand, you know.
Treat it as carefully as you should.
Having said that, he stopped the hiccups.
He can't stop the hiccups.
I mean, if we're looking for a bright side.
The man who shot his friend has been charged with handling a handgun in an unsafe manner, discharging the handgun, and striking the victim in the face. So he was pronounced dead. But you're right. There is a bright side to this, Kevin. So thank you for pointing that out on an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Do you have a bunch of people over for the presidential debates, Kevin, or do you just like to watch them by yourself so you don't get interrupted?
If I turned on the TV and they were on, I would turn it off immediately. You know what you're going to hear? Blah, 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 you're wrong. Blah, blah, blah. That's not true. Blah, blah, blah. You're telling a lie. Blah, blah, blah. That's not true.
Right, but one of these guys is going to be the president of the United States as of Election Day.
Right.
Okay, so it's important.
Well, I'm not interested in watching the debate. I don't know what to tell you.
Town meeting format tonight, President Obama and Mitt Romney meeting at Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York. Candy Crowley from CNN is going to be the moderator this time around, 6 o'clock our time. You know, there were a lot of headlines out of the last time the two men met, about a couple of weeks ago, because Mitt Romney talked about how he wanted to, one of the things he wanted to do to try to bring the federal budget down is to quit giving money to PBS. I guess they get almost $500 million, $445 million is how much PBS
gets.
Wow. And, you know, which is a tiny, 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 tiny fraction of the federal budget. But Mitt Romney says, look, I love Big Bird just like the next guy, but we shouldn't be paying for it. They should be working. And a lot of people agree with him. There are some people who don't agree with that, though. And there were a couple people watching that night who came up with the idea of a million Muppet march on Washington on November 3rd, 3 days before Election Day, to fight for PBS's dollars. And we wanted to find out more about this and how it's all going to go down with one of the greatest Muppets of all time. Kermit the Frog joins us on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Kermit.
Hi, Kermit the Frog here.
How are you today?
How you doing, Kevin and Bean?
We're good.
Oh, good.
It's such a thrill to talk to you. So I have the information, right? So 3 days before Election Day, there's going to be a million Muppet march on Washington. What are you and the other Muppets going to be trying to accomplish?
That's right. The Muppets will be marching on the mall, National Mall, in Washington, D.C. And, we won't actually be marching. We have no legs.
Well, you are a puppet. Muppet.
We prefer the term manually operated American.
Okay, all right.
I don't like the puppet term so much.
Okay. Sorry, not trying to
offend. We'll be, people will be marching for us, carrying us, because, again, we have no legs.
Right,
but,
right.
We think we can get our point across. Mm-hmm. And we can... tell Mitt Romney to lick our felt.
Well, that's not something you would normally hear from you, Kermit.
No, you wouldn't, but we're kind of steamed.
Yeah.
Because Big Bird's a personal friend of mine.
Right.
And it's important for us to, keep the money rolling in. We do good things, we think, on Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. We teach all the children. This is our only opportunity to get preschool education in many cases. And right. So we went to... keep funding going to the PBS stations around the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of people will say, though, that there's no reason why PBS can't be self-sufficient. Why? I mean, you guys make enough money that you could run the network without any help from the United States government.
Well, all the money that goes to PBS goes to the individual stations around the country.
Okay.
PBS itself does not take any money from the federal government. So it's important to keep those stations up and running so the programming can be seen by children all over America.
You know a lot about this. Were you watching the debate?
Well, I work for PBS,
Right.
So, you have to know how your own business works. I mean, I'm sure you guys know how your business works.
Not much, no.
Badly, that's all I know.
So we're all going to be marching and, trying to make a point. I'll be there. And, hey, Grover. Grover, you want to come over here?
Oh, Grover's there?
Oh, Grover, nice.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good. How are you, Grover?
It is I, Grover.
Right. Yeah. are you looking forward to the march on Washington?
Yes. I would also like to kick Mitt Romney in the balls.
Oh, I see.
Well, I don't know that it needs to get physical or violent.
Okay, that's...
Ah, waka waka. Hi, Kevin and Bean. Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie, how are
you? Hey, I got a joke for you guys.
Okay.
A conservative, a moderate, and a liberal walk into a bar. And the bartender says, "Hi, Mitt." Says he flip flops a lot. You see? Waka waka.
Well done, Groove. Right,
Cookie Cat, Monster.
Cookie.
Okay, we understand. We understand. Okay. Cookie Monster is pretty much just here for the free cookies.
Okay.
I don't think he really has a political agenda. I think he just.
Okay.
Yeah, we know. You want cookies, Cookie Monster? God damn it, he's annoying.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening.
Q. KROQ.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39.
Your voice is starting to change, Kevin, and soon you'll be a man. And Lisa needs to explain some of the things that are going on below the belt.
Hey, listen to K-Rock all week long to score tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Night. That's a good one. Caller 13 wins. We'll tell you when to call. I will give you a hint. It'll be between 7 and 8 this morning. You can win those here from the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. Your calls into us, our 24-hour voicemail at 323-520-AFRO. What are you talking about today?
First caller is answering a long-time question that we've been asking on this program.
My cousin is Romney, and he said Glenda will not be there.
Okay.
Glenda will not be there.
It is definitive.
Okay. All right.
Crazy woman. Who wants to hear more crazy woman?
Me.
I love her so much.
It has been determined by the police that Harvey Levin of TMZ has been successfully perverted by the Nazis.
What did she say? I missed that one.
Harvey Levin has been successfully perverted by the Nazis.
Oh, she's not getting into his Judaism, is she?
I don't think.
What's that about?
I don't think she is aware enough to know he's Jewish. Do you?
Okay.
I hope not.
Look, you think she's crazy.
I do.
She makes perfect sense to me.
Oh,
so
I'm
I don't
sure.
know what you're talking about.
Barack Obama came down on his spaceship and asked me to go with him to Pluto. I said, no, sir. No, sir. No one touches this pretty flower.
Got a lot of crazy lady impressions.
Yeah,
they
pretty good.
Seem to love her, and they seem to have her down.
Charles Manson needs a male and a female on the outside and would like to Mick Jagger in at this time.
Pretty good.
That sounded, was that the real lady, or
was that an impression?
That was an impression.
That was an impression.
Okay.
Another one?
Eating a donut doesn't mean that a doctor will not get a speeding ticket from a parking control officer.
That's an excellent point.
He makes as much sense, that's for sure. Crazy woman again.
Well, Fran Zell must have thought it was funny when dentist Mark Cohen shouted across the market to me that he wanted to f*** me and then f*** my mother.
It was getting sexy for just a second there.
Now, wait, is that
turned.
The real one?
Yes, that's
the real one.
Yes.
Now I don't believe
you
the
can't
lure
tell?
Anymore. No.
I love it because the listeners are so good.
Yeah.
You guys remember this 911 call? It's from a long time ago from Victor Fuentes.
Fire Department Operator 75, what's the address, please?
16121. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me.
16121 Harris.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
You're a male?
I'm a male, of course.
All right, so that was the call that prompted this girl. She does a mashup of Victor Fuentes and me.
Hello. Yes, how may I help you? 1709, what's the emergency? There's a group called the Blue Man Group, and they paint their faces red. Okay, sir, are they in danger? That's a toss-up, sir. Did you just have a Kevin? Man, too much information.
Brought it home.
Well done, yeah.
Pretty well done, right? Remember when we talked to Lady Gaga after she threw up on stage?
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
We got some complaints about perhaps the throw-up sound effects were a little too gross. So here's a complaint.
I was laughing my ass off about the Lady Gaga bit. You know, people who get upset and say that, they know what that. You know, people listen to your show and they know what kind of comedy
you no better.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have to call back.
Yeah, please do. This is a disturbing new trend. Don't feel like you need to keep calling with this comedy.
Muggs told us a story. It took about 25 minutes to get through about how he hit a four-team parlay.
Uh-huh.
All four of his college teams came from behind and won. And then he ended the story with, I didn't really put the bet in. I just wrote it down. And we said, then you didn't have a 14 parlay.
I won! I won! Yeah, I just won the lotto! What? What do you mean you gotta buy a ticket? I picked the numbers. Picking the numbers isn't good enough? Damn! You gotta buy a ticket? That's like picking a bunch of teams to win and, well, not betting on them.
See how that works, Muggs?
This next one, I really have to congratulate for the dedication and for the twist at the end.
I've been really trying, baby. Trying to hold back this feeling for so long. And if you feel that I've got to do, baby, come on. Oh, come on. Woo!
That's a long way to go for that punchline. Congratulations. And finally, Bean and his love of Halloween spooks.
Best you know, what ever. You guys do to Beer Mug is called bullying. And one of these days, he's going to end up killing himself. Can't wait. Hey.
Sorry, I forgot about that one. Here's the one about Bean bullying.
Mr. Weatherby can keep you guys from doing a live show somewhere just because Omar got hilariously drunk and got on those reggae horns, but you can't stop Bean from playing Halloween Spooks? What the f***? Don't fire a Beer Mug. Fire a Bean.
I agree. That song is unacceptable.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
It's a Halloween like nothing else.
Outside my window.
You singing, Kevin?
Halloween,
I am not.
Behind the tree.
Where are you at, Mud?
I wish that the children could see. But I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Yes, it is. Thanks, sir. We'll be happy to play it more for you.
Don't fire a Beer Mug. Fire a Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Funny man Mike Birbiglia joins us coming up after 7 here on the world-famous K-Rock. Van, we want to talk to you bronies, you My Little Ponies fans. Kevin is going to have all of your calls Bronies? Traced and is going to send the police over to your house, apparently. I don't understand what that's about, but it's all on the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz. Pete, what's going on?
Lots of stuff going on. Very excited about the presidential debate tonight.
Me,
I am too.
It's going to be good times.
I can't wait.
See if Obama is able to... recover. Yeah. See if he's able to redeem himself after his initial outing. See if Mitt Romney continues to have a firm grasp on the debate. I just hope they, you know, it's the town hall format.
Right.
Which I always find more interesting than the pre-planned questions of the moderator to open it up to the actual electorate and let them pose hopefully pointed questions to both of these men and see how they respond. I hope one of the questions somebody brings up is perhaps the most important question facing all of Americans today, regardless of age or socioeconomic strata or, you know, whether you lean left or right.
Okay.
What's going on between Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey? What about the feud on American Idol? What about the feud between those two judges?
Nobody would ask the question.
Everyone asks that because that's what's important. Mm. And thank God that Michael Yo, Miami morning radio show host, Michael Yo of the Yo Show.
We should change our name to the Yo Show.
We should. He's on Miami's Y100. He had a chance to interview President Barack Obama in a live call-in interview.
Uh-huh.
And thank God Michael Yo was posing the question that's on everyone's mind.
You know what? I think that they are going to be able to sort it out. I am confident. I'm all about bringing people together, working for the same cause. So, you know, I think both outstanding artists are going to be able to make sure that, you know, they're moving forward and not going backwards.
Okay. Now, which one is your favorite out of the two, Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj?
You know, Mariah, she's actually done some events for us. I've gotten to know her and Nick, and she's a wonderful lady. So, Nicki, I don't know, but I've got her on my iPod.
I think Barack Obama is clear there. He is a team Mariah. He's going with Mariah.
Seemed like he was trying to walk the fence.
I know, but I think towards the end there, he sort of revealed his true colors. I have to feel he's on the side of Mariah Carey.
If someone asks Mr. Romney that in the town hall tonight, though, he'll probably say the right thing, which is, I don't care about either of them. I'm all Keith Urban.
Yeah. Maybe,
right?
Yeah. Maybe he'll go with
Urban. He'll go with the Keith Urban, right.
Although, Rami doesn't strike me as a guy who likes urban things.
That's true. I think that
Barack just, strikes me as more urban,
name,
urban
Ralphie,
person.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But thank God we are getting to the bottom of these important issues as this election is right around the
corner. I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
What do you think about Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey? Yo show. The blow show.
How do you do it?
It's a gift. Are you worried about this peanut butter recall?
Not heard of it.
It's not about show business, but I'm just panic-stricken. Left and right, they're finding all these peanut butters making people sick.
Is this a new one?
Yeah. The brand new secondary products using this the Sunland peanut butter. First of all, it's Trader Joe's creamy salted Valencia peanut butter.
Right.
Which was scary enough. Now it's all the protein bistro boxes made at Starbucks. The peanut butter flavors of velvet ice cream. Moon pies. Peanut butter moon pies.
Oh, don't take the moon pies away.
Gift baskets sold at Harriet and David, a very popular online gift shop.
Yeah, high end.
Come on. Where's President Obama stand on the peanut butter crisis?
What's the problem with the peanut butter? Why is it making people sick?
Oh, nothing. Just a little something called salmonella. I'm sorry, maybe you didn't hear me. Salmonella! Yeah. So far, people have been sickened in 19 states by tainted peanut butter. First of all, keep your taint out of the peanut butter. And second of all, be careful what you're eating, people.
It's peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time! Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Now there you go! There you go! There you go! There you go! Peanut butter jelly! Bleh. Peanut butter jelly! Bleh. Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly with a peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly! Peanut butter jelly with a peanut butter jelly!
I'm just concerned. I'm concerned about peanut. I love peanut butter more than anything else in the world. It's my favorite food.
It is?
Oh, peanut butter is the greatest food on the planet.
I like peanut butter a lot.
It is so...
It's good.
Amazing.
Take it easy.
Peanut butter is the best.
All right.
And is there a more versatile food? Is there a food you can put, you can make a sauce out for a chicken satay or put it, wrap it in a delicious envelope of milk chocolate and make yourself a peanut butter cup? Could you run more of a gamut with a food than peanut butter?
I don't have strong feelings on the peanut
well,
butter.
Well, you should.
Debate.
I like Hopefully it. That'll come up at the debate tonight, talking about the peanut butter crisis. That's what I want to know about.
You got to fly there right now, Ralph. You have to be in the audience.
I just wave my hand until someone finally picks me. What about the peanut butter? I'll just say that. I'll listen to your answer. I'll sit back down again. I'll go, what's that guy talking about? Khloe Kardashian and Mario Lopez are at each other's throats.
They haven't even started yet.
Finally, my plan has come to fruition.
They're not even working yet.
Let them take each other out.
I agree, but...
Yeah, National Enquirer reports today that Mario Lopez called Khloe Kardashian an airhead.
No,
he didn't.
Khloe Kardashian referred to Mario to friends as a muscle-bound jerk. They're each pulling in $1 million for this season, by the way, for their work as hosts over there on The X Factor.
Wow.
And they have stipulated in their contracts they must have the exact same makeup, hair, and wardrobe budgets. First of all, that is unfair. Khloe obviously needs more of a hair budget because she is covered with a thick coat of yak fur. Mario, I'm assuming, is baby bottom smooth. I'm assuming he's waxed all over.
That's probably true.
Including the important place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's Catherwood-esque. There's no question.
Yeah, hardwood floors all the way around, baby. And while we're talking about the Kardashian clan, Kris Jenner has announced her intention to sign Honey Boo Boo as a client.
Well, that's
Kris Jenner would like to be Honey Boo Boo's manager. If anyone knows about exploiting a family for money, it's Kris Jenner. So she would like to get her hand on the Thompson family and try to negotiate their skyrocketing fame and make them more money.
And make herself more money.
Oh, well, match.
Yeah.
I was asking our friend Dax Holt in the TMZ newsroom yesterday why Honey Boo Boo was in town. And it turns out that she and her mom were on Jimmy Kimmel last night. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm very excited about that. Yeah, they were guests on the Kimmel Show last night.
Huh. And the Hulkster's back in the news again. Hulk Hogan talking about that sex tape that we saw just a taste of over there on Gawker.com. Not nearly enough for my liking, by the way. I'd like to see the tape in its entirety.
It was greatly edited.
It was. It was down to a minute out of a 30-minute tape, I believe. That's all they showed you on the Gawker.
Claiming it's 30 minutes. I'd claim that, too.
I think it's 30 minutes. I think the Hulkster is an impressive specimen of manhood. However, he is not happy with the fact that the sex tape leaked on the internet. He has filed a pair of lawsuits as of yesterday over the sex tape. One is against this same said Gawker.com website that showed the video. He's looking for, let me see if I can find the actual number here. Let me see what he thinks the damages are worth monetarily. Oh, $100 million. That seems fair, doesn't it? Does that seem fair, the $100 million?
That's absurd.
Well, come on, Kevin. Look at what it's done to him. It has thrust him back into the limelight after a decade of obscurity. He is once again on everyone's conversational list, and he has been thrust to the forefront of the popular culture scene.
And by the way, there's nobody who thinks negatively of Hulk Hogan for doing a sex
tape. That's right. All right. No harm has come to him whatsoever.
None
because of
at
that.
All.
In fact, he is
He's benefited greatly.
He has benefited greatly because of this. So I can see why he would want $100 million. The second lawsuit, by the way, has been brought against Heather Klemm, the young lady in the video who, as I mentioned before, was the wife of his best friend, Bubba the Love Sponge, who he has also sued.
He's suing Bubba, too?
He's suing his former best friend, Bubba the Love Sponge. It has been filed against Heather and her now ex-husband, Mr. Sponge. And Hulk is claiming, this is my favorite part of this whole story, the lawsuit claims, this is actual verbiage from the document.
Okay.
He has suffered severe and irreparable injury, which cannot be adequately compensated by monetary damages. Then why are you suing them if you can't possibly have any monetary amount that would adequately compensate?
So $100 million's not enough.
That's the one suit. That's Gawker.com. Okay. No word yet on how much he's asking for from Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, so... But all we know is there's no amount of money that can adequately compensate him.
Sure.
How do you put a price tag on something when you've announced in the document that there's no price tag you can put on it? Yeah. I think he's going to demand seconds from Heather Klemm. That's the only thing I can imagine. There's no amount of money that can help me, brother, so I get to bang your ex-wife again.
If this ever goes to court, though, I do hope the other side says, show me the damages. Show me where you were harmed by this tape being released.
And show me the video. That's what I hope
the whole
say.
Thing.
Yes. You know, he was married to Linda, his wife, at the same time he was banging Bubba's wife 6 years ago when this tape was made, so.
Okie dokie.
It's a wacky, wacky world.
Celebrities know how to do it, huh?
This sure does. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. I'm running late. I apologize. Suzanne Somers is 66 years old today. Guitarist Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. Is he part of that other band that they traveled around with, Grateful Dead Light? What are they called?
The Other Ones or something like that?
Yeah, I think he is. He's 65.
And he's got Rat Dog, too, is his other
band.
Sure,
well, Rat Dog, you don't have to tell me. Good. I'm wearing my Rat Dog concert tee as we speak. David Zucker, the man behind The Naked Gun and Airplane, famous movie screenwriter, director, and producer, is 65 years old today. Tim Robbins is 54. Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 50. And Brea Grant from Heroes and Dexter is 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Which means you do not make good choices. We're going to talk to you bronies coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. The My Little Pony phenomena that we have become so fascinated with lately. That's on the way. First, though... Live from New York, Mike Birbiglia joins us back on The Kevin and Bean Show. We had you on, Mike, about a month ago, maybe a little more, talking about your film still in theaters called Sleepwalk With Me, and now you are coming to town with a bunch of upcoming local dates on stage. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm Kevining right now.
Oh!
Yeah. I'm Kevining. No proof, but you got to take my word
for it. That's pretty much dead. I hate to tell you that. We're kind of at the end of it. So
Mike came on. He came on the line before we went on the air, and he said that Kevining is the new everything, and I think that's the best explanation that I've ever heard. This show that you're bringing to town.
Kevining, can I talk about why Kevining is great?
Please.
That'd be great.
I looked at all the photos. I know that you think it's dead, but I want to keep it alive, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
It's because the reason it's so great is that we all have this image in our head of what we look like when people see us.
Right.
And Kevining is what we actually look like.
Oh, that makes me feel a lot better.
It's an actual true window to the soul. I think that's brilliant, Mike. That's great. My girlfriend's boyfriend is the awkwardly named show that you're touring Southern California with. November 2nd in Thousand Oaks, November 3rd in Irvine, November 4th at UCSB, and you can get tickets at burbigs.com. This is a show that I believe you mentioned briefly last time we had you on that you've been doing for some time. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. It's basically, if people have seen Sleepwalk with Me at this point, which is
everyone
likely.
Yeah, it's in the movie theaters, and it's actually on VOD now, which is people can see it on demand on their TV if they have a television, cable television. But it's kind of about a breakup, and a lot of people – this is a new phenomenon this week is I've gotten a lot of emails telling – people telling me that they were inspired by my movie to break up with their girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
So I am the – I have become the breakup whisperer.
Oh, is that the title you wanted?
No, I don't want anything to do with that. But this, this is my new show, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. And it's much more positive. It's about how I decided to get married, despite not believing in the idea of marriage. It's very optimistic.
And then your divorce?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not yet. That's the next show,
That's
Kevin.
That's the next show. I'm sorry.
How long have you been married, Mike?
I've been married for about 4.5 years. My wife and I got married at City Hall. Which is kind of like getting married at the DMV, which is sure. Is not unlike it. You gotta go through a metal detector, and it's, you know, the argument, the show is a lot about my arguments against marriage, because marriage to me it just always seems insane. It's like, first of all, marriage is an archaic institution invented in the Middle Ages based on exchanging property. I don't want to be a part of that.
Right.
You know, second of all, 50% of marriages end in divorce. That's just first marriages. Second marriages, 60 to 62% end in divorce. Third marriages, 70 to 75% end in divorce. That's a learning curve.
Yes.
But you did it, having all of those.
I did it, yeah.
But you strike me, and I don't mean this at all in an offensive way, Mike, but you strike me as a guy who was lucky to get the one woman to date you.
Yeah,
you know
thank
what
you
I
so
mean?
Much.
No, I'm just – I'm saying it's not like you got married and then said goodbye to 1,000 hot chicks that were all lined up to sleep with you. You know what I mean?
That's absolutely true, yeah. No, I mean I think of my – I'm not a cocky person. I think of myself as sort of a sex maybe. Which is to say that if I'm seeing a girl, she'd think I'd have sex with him, maybe, you know. And I'm not ashamed of that. There are periods in my life where I was a sex never, or a sex with self always. And
so you're moving
often,
up. You're moving up.
Surprisingly often, yeah. No, and no. I don't think it's it's not just that. It's not just about you know, there wanting to be a lot of women in my future, it's. It, you know, it really had to do with just I never looked at my parents' marriage or anyone who'd been married more than 30 years and thought, like, I got to get me some of that.
Right.
Right. Yes.
And yet you did.
And I did.
You're making every argument against marriage, which you did 3.5 years ago.
My Girlfriend's Boyfriend is the name of the show. It's Burbigs, BIRBIGS.com. That's where you to go to get the tickets. Again, November 2nd in Thousand Oaks, in Irvine on November 3rd, and November 4th at Campbell Hall, UCSB. And, of course, this played for a number of months, I guess, off-Broadway. So it's a tight, well-honed show. It's ready to go.
Yeah,
it's ready
a,
for
it's
the
a
public.
Show. You know, we have a set and a lighting plot. It's like it's a nice evening out and with a lot of laughs.
All right, we're running desperately late, and I apologize, Mike, that we got to you a little bit late, but we want to hear the continuation just very briefly of the story you were starting to tell us off air. You famously talked about the La Quinta
Jumping
Inn,
through the second story window, sleepwalking in Walla Walla,
Walla Walla,
Washington.
Right. And now there's some sort of a follow up on some contact you've had with that hotel.
At La Quinta Inn, yeah. I jumped out the window at La Quinta Inn, or some people correct me. They go, no, it's La Quinta. I'm like, that's not fair. You can't force me to speak Spanish. I didn't press two. Anyway, the son of the owner of that La Quinta Inn, or La Quinta Inn, emailed me and said he liked the movie and everything. And so I said, I asked if they would put a plaque in the room that I jumped out the second story window commemorating it. And he said yes. He said, you know, that sounds great. We will do that. Just send it our way. But the caveat that he said that I don't love it is he goes, it has to, but it should be about the movie and the book. It shouldn't be about how you jump through the window because you don't want to freak people out when they're checking into the room. Like, oh no, this is like the Exorcist hotel room.
Yeah.
But I think honestly that you can't separate the two.
Totally. Well,
that's how I feel about it.
Sure, you were there in the room. You made the movie and you jumped out the window.
Yeah, I mean, that's what just what happened.
So you have to put an arrow toward the window and say, I jumped.
I jumped through that window. Yeah, I know.
There are going to be, I don't know what your fans are called, if they're, you know, burb heads or whatever they call them, but they are going to be taking the trek to Walla Walla to stay in that room to soak up some of your inspiration.
This is where the idea came from. He told me over email, people already do it.
What?
People are. Yeah, no, I swear to God. He said, people go, they show up. They drive from different parts of Washington State and across the country, frankly.
Of course. around the world.
From around the world. They're flying in. No, he said, though, for real, people say they ask to see the room. And they show them the room, you know, because they – you know, because not just – it was obviously a big deal for me, but it's a big deal for them when it happened. I mean, they lost that window.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, did you ever have to pay for that window?
I shattered their window. I actually did. It was like $240, which I thought was inexpensive for a window.
That seems expensive to me.
I'm going
to
take a nationwide tour starting with your hotel in Walla Walla and go to all the famous hotel rooms. I'm going to go to the Anna Nicole Smith Death Suite in Miami. I'm going to hit them all. It's going to be so fun.
Wow, that's quite a plan.
what a step down on visit number two.
Burbigs.com is the site. Please go see our friend Mike Birbiglia on stage November 2nd through 4th all over Southern California. You will have a great time at the show. It's called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. Mike, love having you on, man. Thanks for the time.
I will Kevining. I'll continue Kevining, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks.
I'm just going to come out and ask it. Kevin, why do you hate?
Why does Kevin hate?
Brownies? Why do you hate? Why so much hate? So what if guys enjoy a TV show?
A TV show that's made for girls that are, say, under... I don't know, about four they start out growing it.
Actually, the cartoon is known to be sort of funny and well-written and sort of sarcastic. It's one of those kids shows that also has sort of an adult bent to it. The girl who
have you watched it?
The girl who's rebooted it is sort of known as a sort of clever writer.
Here's a little bit of My Little Pony. This is the show that the guys...
Magic. Are. Friendship is magic.
Friendship is magic.
Can you believe the new baby is finally here? Cupcake and Carrot Cake must be so proud. I wonder if it's a filly or a colt. I want to see the new baby pony. I want to see. Which one is it?
Okay, so that's the TV show that older guys are into.
It's kind of like a Powerpuff Girls vibe to it. That's what people who like the show say.
And I'm the one that's wrong for saying it's creepy that older guys are into that.
They can watch it if they want.
Of course they can.
It doesn't mean anything else country. Other than the fact that they're watching it.
It means they have a panel van. That's what it means.
Oh, stop
they
it.
Have a panel van filled with candy.
Look, I
wow,
used
that
to.
Sounds good,
I used to love Powerpuff Girls.
I know you
Girls.
Did.
I bought all of them on DVD.
And I thought the same thing about you, my friend.
And I just enjoyed it because it was just a fun show, like Ralph said, that is made for kids but also works for adults. And the reason we're talking about My Little Pony Friendship is Magic right now is there's an article that just came out this weekend, I think, about a convention at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. This is BronyCon 2012. Now, explain the bronies to us, Ralph.
Bronies are the male fans of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. So they're bros, they're men, they're bros, and they love the ponies, so they're the bronies.
Bronies, right. And we want to hear from bronies. We want to talk to some of the guys who are into My Little Pony Friendship is Magic at 1-800-520-1067. We want you to give us a call and tell us what it is you like about the show. We'll
call us from your van right outside the elementary school.
Stop saying that. These guys are just fun-loving sure. guys enjoying a show.
I'm sure that's it, Ralph.
Listen, speaking as the only geek on the staff here, and I'm not into My Little Pony, but I know the mentality. I know the vibe of people who go to the conventions, who buy the merch, who watch the shows. They're just guys who just like it. That's all. They're probably from all different walks of life and all different sexual orientations.
They're not. They
and
haven't...
they just like the show.
Let's hear a little bit of the interviews that they did. I guess the correspondent was on the scene at BronyCon 2012 last week.
What exactly is a brony? A brony is someone who likes the fourth generation of My Little Pony. We are fans of this show. We like it, and we like to express how much we like it. And that is all you need. There is no entry fee. There is no pre-existing knowledge. If you like to have fun, if you like to be awesome, then you come here.
I like to have fun, and I like to be awesome.
Apparently, you don't like to be awesome. Because you are not awesome, and you are not a brony.
Because I don't like a TV show made for tiny little girls.
Look, it's the same thing for the Doctor Who fans and the Star Trek fans
nope.
and the Star Wars
nope.
fans. It's
nope.
the same dynamic. It's
no,
just
it isn't.
People
because those
who are fans
other,
of a thing.
Those other projects were made for people their age. This is not made for people their age. It just isn't.
Originally, Doctor Who was made for kids. It was a kid's show.
This show, have you watched it?
I've never seen My
Little
Pony. How about
that? Watch it one time.
And but I'm familiar with it.
You'll
I'm familiar with it.
Not for anyone over five.
No, I don't think I'll say that.
Five's a little old, actually. Girls probably turning their back on it by the time they get to five.
Stop it.
Josh, you hang on. Spencer, you hang on. Eric, you hang on. We got some bronies on the line. We're going to talk about it. I'm starting to come to the conclusion that Kevin is the derpy hooves of the My Little Pony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Uh-huh. You are. You're derpy hooves.
I don't know what that means.
You know why? Because you're not awesome. Because you're not a brony. That's why you don't know what it means.
Not a pedophile.
Stop saying that.
We'll take calls from actual bronies and we'll get
and
this whole thing.
Actual pedophiles, if you happen to be one calling.
Sort it out next on the Kevin Beach
Show. You want to defend yourselves.
Maybe the pedophiles will say, we're not bronies. Maybe I'm just saying they're separate groups.
Let me hear a little bit more of that My Little Pony before we go to our brony calls.
And our daughter, Pumpkin Cake.
Huh? Two new fools for me to play with? Oh, that's two times the fun. This is the greatest day ever.
All right, so they're little
baby ponies. They're excited.
Little baby ponies. And they're little stuffed animals. And these creepy middle-aged guys watch
it
and like it.
Creepy. They can like it.
Ugh.
Let's talk to Josh. He's on line one. He was first brony through this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe try to explain. Maybe put Kevin's fears to rest a little bit. Josh, there's nothing at all creepy about your love for the ponies, right?
Absolutely not, Bean. I mean, first of all, hi, Kevin and Bean, Lisa
hi.
And Ralph.
Hello.
Hey, Josh.
Basically, it's a show that could go towards guys and girls. Now, I told them.
But wait, let me just ask you a question. For guys and girls under the age of five.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, guys play with Legos when it says 5 to 10. And I can tell you the truth, Legos are for adults anyway. So I don't understand why we should keep it into that realm of people under 5.
Yes. I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Stop it.
What is it,
Kevin
Josh,
is ageist.
What is it you like about My Little Pony?
What I said is the storylines are very adult themed.
Sure.
To tell you the truth. I mean, if you changed up the characters to be guys, and of course made them, like, say, dragons or something, it is very, you know, mature
but Josh,
guys in that situation.
But Josh, it's not that. It's not dragons.
Kevin wouldn't go for dragons either.
It's little pink horses.
Well, so what is about horses? I mean, you know, it's just a form of escapism.
Do you shave down there?
Stop it, Kevin.
I don't know why it asked him.
Good for you, Josh. I support your love of the ponies.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate the call. Thank you. We got to move on to some other calls. Let's go to Eric. Eric is on line six, and he joined. Oh, did we just lose?
Kevin just hung up on him.
He hung up on himself.
He realized who he was and hung up.
Let's try Spencer then. Spencer's on line three. He's up next here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. He can tell us what he loves about being a brony.
Hey, Spencer.
I win. Spencer, bring it. No, bring it, Spencer.
I win.
No, you don't.
No. Okay.
Are you in front of a playground right now?
No, I am not.
All right, tell us about being a brony.
Okay, so basically I have a connection to the characters because some of my friends who are a lot younger than me, yeah, I know.
Yeah, right, already. Already. Hold on a minute.
Stop it. Let him finish his sentence, Kevin.
He stopped himself.
No. Okay, so they like the show, too, and I started watching it because I'm like, oh, you know, this could be good, it could be bad. So then I started getting connected to the characters and stuff.
Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
Stop it, Kevin.
All right, what do you mean by connected with the characters? Who's your favorite character on My Little Pony?
Probably Pinkie Pie, only because she's stupid.
Oh, yeah. I hate to laugh at how stupid she is.
What about Applejack? Where do you come down on Applejack?
It's not disturbing to anyone here's the thing. The show that you're watching is targeted at a group that's very, very different than you. That doesn't strike anyone as a little odd.
God forbid someone do something different. Imagine that. Imagine what a horrible
place
the world
would be. Well, there's a lot
of
different. It's not all good.
If I sit down and watch Pokemon or I watch Bugs Bunny or I watch something else on Saturday mornings.
Way better than this.
Why? You don't know. You haven't seen it.
I have seen it. I've watched it. I just tweeted out a link for it. You watch it online, you go, okay, this is clearly made for a two-year-old. I'm going to say three is the top age now, not five. Three-year-olds start going, I'm a little too old for that.
I think I would like to shower with you.
Spencer, thank you for the call. By the way, at this convention at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York that we were talking about a few minutes ago, apparently Ponysville's hottest metal band, Nayslayer, performed.
There you go.
What? So you can't even say that with a straight face.
There were academic panels, fan art, and My Little Pony vendors.
Pony metal. That's the music we need to play here on K-Rock.
I want to meet you and fool around.
Let's talk to Alan real quick. Alan is on line five, another brony.
What percentage
helping us out
of
here.
These callers have been visited by Chris Hansen?
Eric is back, too, by the way. We need to talk to him.
All right.
Okay. Alan, real quick, what's going on, dude?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
I'm a huge brony. I'm a new brony, but I'm still a big fan.
All right. How'd you get into My Little Pony? Who introduced you to it?
Well, my friend Kimmy introduced me to it. She was like, you have to watch, you'd be a perfect brony. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll watch it.
Is your friend Kimmy a four?
No, she's actually 14.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah. And why does it resonate with you?
I don't know. It's such great animation because it's done by the people who did Fosters.
Sure.
And I just really like Vinyl Scratch because she's a badass pony.
She is a badass pony.
Well, if I show up and you're already naked waiting for me on your bed, then it might be hard to be just a friend.
Oh, Kevin, you're so horrible. Alan, thank you very much. We got to move on to Eric. Last call here. He's our brony.
It is that Japanese style animation too that a lot of people like. They like the manga and stuff. It's the big eyes and that kind of thing. So people react to that too.
So do you agree, Ralph, that Vinyl Scratch is a badass pony?
Oh, way badass. Yeah.
All right, yeah. Eric, what's going on, dude?
Hey, what's up, party people?
Hey. What do you like about the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, Eric?
Well, the show, like people have been saying, it has a very great animation to it, and it is also very well written. That and also with the fact that
you're not a good spokesman for your side.
Eric sounds like he's being processed downtown right now.
I'm in my 40s, but guarantee that I'm not some old guy wanting to perv a young boy.
Stop it.
Sounds like he's waiting for his bail hearing.
I think Eric is catching a flight to leave the country. Which is
he's getting one.
Right, Jesse's going to bring it up. Jesse's going to sell it. He's going to sway Kevin. He's going to bring him over to the right side.
You think this will do it?
Yes.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi. Hi, Ralph. Hi, Lisa May.
Hey, hello. Jesse.
All right, you have to give it. You have to be the definitive answer on why being a brony is awesome.
Because it's just fun. Everyone's so friendly, and it's really funny how people hate.
It's the mental, because it's shooting at the mental capacity of a 4 or 5 year old.
Well, I would think you would love it then, Kevin.
I'm retarded. I'm not young.
Would you get naked,
Jesse?
Yes.
Do you have a panel van?
I do not. I have not owned a white panel van ever.
Good for you, Jesse.
That one struck home a little. All right. Thanks for the call. You turned me around.
Friendship is magic.
Eastgain1 tweeted me, the Brony Convention is a great idea. Now the cops can pick up all the pedophiles in one place.
No.
I think that's right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
1709? Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on. What, Lisa? What? I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But I'm
but
saying,
that wouldn't be 17 either, would
why
it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That one is going to be in the running for best moment of the year come
the
December.
The 1709 is so spectacular that we sort of gloss over the, I was thinking 22, which also makes just no sense whatsoever.
None
still not even close.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday, 7:54. Ralph has another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
1709. It's always 1709.
I hate the race for the best of the year because I'm fighting with myself on about three different levels.
But it's great. You're like a politician running unopposed. You are just a
slam dunk. You're
going to
win. It's just a question of how big.
That's right. You are a guaranteed winner. You're a winner. Hulk Hogan back in the news. Hulkster filed a pair of lawsuits yesterday over that sex tape that's allegedly been peddled around the internet without his consent, he claims. You may have seen a little bit of a taste of it over there on Gawker.com, which is one of the recipients of the Hulkster's two lawsuits. He is suing Gawker.com for posting that 1 minute of the reportedly 30-minute sex tape. He says it's damaged his reputation. Yeah, your reputation as a wrestling clown,
right.
Mr. Hogan?
Come on.
But, you know, I think he has a point.
He's a priest.
He's entitled to some damages, and I think it's an appropriate number. $100 million in damages is what he's looking for.
That's all? $100
that's million?
All.
$100 million.
Duh.
Listen. There have been personal injury lawsuits where people have lost limbs that they didn't ask for $100 million. All we saw you was a grainy black and white video of you boning apparently a semi-hot chick. How is that $100 million worth of damages?
Did anyone go, Hulk Hogan had sex with somebody else? Did anyone react like that?
No. He also is suing his former best friend. I'm assuming it's a former best friend now, since he is suing him. Bubba the Love Sponge, who is a DJ. Bean, you're Captain Radio. Where is Bubba the Love Sponge located? Where does he work out of? Florida?
I think he does. I think he has a small syndicated network of stations in Florida and also on and off on satellite radio as well.
There you go.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're in this together, by the way, and they're going to split whatever money they get.
Well, he's suing Bubba.
Yeah.
Why would he sue Bubba if they're in together?
I don't know. Maybe he drops it later. I don't know.
I don't know how they're going to do it.
I can see him suing Gawker, and then they can split it. But why would he sue the guy who made the video with his...
This whole thing seems fishy to me.
Hulkster's partner in the sex tape is Heather Clem, who 6 years ago when the tape was made, she was married to Bubba the Love Sponge. He is suing both Bubba and Heather because he said he had no idea he was being secretly recorded. Interestingly enough, in the lawsuit, he said he suffered severe and irreparable injury which cannot be adequately compensated by monetary damages.
Oh, well, then he doesn't want anything.
What exactly are you asking for, then, in your lawsuit? Mr. Hogan, I would put to you. Again, this is an excellent question for the debate tonight. I hope someone in the town hall steps up and says, Governor Romney, what about the Bubba the Love Sponge wife and Hulk Hogan sex tape, sir? I'll sit down and listen to your answer. Let's bring out the important issues, people.
He's the godfather to their kid, too. You know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
Jeez. He might be the father of their kid, judging from that video tape. Who knows? The Jenners, Kendall and Kylie, better known as the teen half-sisters of Khloe, Kim, and Courtney.
Yeah.
This is how you know Kris Jenner is just a total narcissist, that all of her kids have to have the same K start to their names like hers. She's Kris with a K, so she had to have Kendall, Kylie, Kim, Khloe, and Courtney all with a K as well.
Yeah. Started right out of the womb.
Started right out of the womb. Except for Rob. You can tell he's on the outs. He's not Carl.
Right.
He's Rob. She has no concern for him.
That crazy Dunger family down in the Alabama or wherever they are with 25 kids or something. Don't they do that too? They all have names that start with the same?
Yeah.
Jay. They're all Jay names, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know whether that's because of one of the parents or whether they just liked the names as they started.
They just like Jesus, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's it for Jesus. Kendall and Kylie are releasing their own clothing line.
With a K?
No, it's with a C as far as I can tell. However, they have signed with a Canadian firm, and Canada spelled with a K in this release.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, good.
They will be producing the Junior's clothing line for Kendall and Kylie. It'll be T-shirts, pants, shorts, accessories, diaphragms, condoms, lube.
I think you're adding some things
gear,
to that list.
Gimp masks.
I don't think they're selling gimp
surgical
masks.
Tubing. Catheters. Speculums.
I don't think any of that is in the clothing line.
Canada used to be our allies. What are you doing? What are you doing, Canada? Stop it. Cut it out. Don't help these people. I saw Argo. Used to be on our side. Now look at you. Helping the Jenners and the Kardashians.
And
either
the
you're with us or you're against us.
Now, once they had Bieber, it all turned.
That's true. Once they inflicted Bieber on us.
Yep.
And police in L.A. had a problem on Saturday night. I don't know if you heard about this or not. The skateboard movie Bake and Destroy had its premiere on Hollywood Boulevard Sunday night. 500 skateboarders took to the street and overtook Hollywood Boulevard. Cops showed up, tried to crack down on their antics. Then the skaters started throwing rocks and bottles at the cops.
Yeah, what? It was ugly. I watched some of that live. I mean, it was a very tense situation. They had all the stores down there closed for their own protection. I mean, it was really out of control.
No word on how many ended up getting arrested or whether anyone was injured, but it was not a good night for skateboarding in general. It was not a good reflection of that community.
No, it's embarrassing. Yeah. It really is. You make all skateboarders look bad because of a few a-holes.
And listen, I'm no fascist, but I do support the police. And the minute you start throwing rocks and bottles at the cops, I say, put in the live rounds. That's what I say. Forget the beanbag guns, whatever.
Tase them, bro.
No tasers.
No tasers. Just
give me one of them old-fashioned Gatling guns. I just start, there'll be a lot of of empty skateboards when I was done. Just saying.
When you're running things,
get a
it's
good
be
deal.
Different.
You'd get a good deal on a secondhand skateboard after I was finished with them down there. Because, no, you don't throw rocks and bottles at cops. It's just, it's not done. And more violence. This time, Kanye West.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
what now?
Kanye apparently not too happy with a paparazzo outside of a restaurant in Miami where he was there with his girlfriend Kim Kardashian. The reporters outside also spotted her ex-boyfriend, New Orleans Saints running back Reggie Bush, also in the restaurant. So a photographer asked Kanye if he gave Reggie Bush congratulations since he's expecting his first child. Kanye then grabbed the woman's camera. That's assault. Kim, by the way, seemed amused at the outburst and was seen laughing in her see-through skirt and shirt she was wearing.
Right.
So, no word on whether charges will be filed against Kanye or not, but you don't do that. You can't touch the people. Look, you pay the price. You dated Kardashian, you're going to pay the price.
They're both, hey, huge look at me.
Absolutely.
People.
And good news for those of us who watch the Golden Globes. It's been announced as of yesterday that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler will be co-hosting this year's 70th annual Golden Globe Awards. It's live from the Beverly Hilton. January 13th is the date of that broadcast. This should be very entertaining. They're both very funny ladies and they're good friends, and there should be some hijinks and shenanigans to look forward to.
That's a great choice.
Golden Globes, by the way, the best of all the award shows because they serve them liquor at the tables
while
they're waiting for the awards. So usually get some sort of hilarity.
I was really disappointed in Ricky Gervais last year, weren't you, Ralph?
Yeah, it was really substandard. Not that
he's
funny at all.
He's better than that.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday, Suzanne Somers is 66 years old today. A lot of people probably don't remember, but she was at one time the biggest television star in the world. Three's Company was the hottest show on television, and she was all about that show. Bob Weir, The Grateful Dead, 65 years old today. David Zucker, the man who gave us the Naked Gun movies and Airplane, 65. Tim Robbins is 54. Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 50 years old today. You know Flea's real name, Dan?
He's the best.
Anybody?
Yeah, I know it, but I can't.
I assumed his name wasn't Flea, but I never knew his real name until I looked at this birthday list.
Oh.
I'm with Kevin. I would recognize it if you said it, but it's not immediately coming to my mind.
Michael Balzari.
Sure. There it is.
Michael Balzari is 50 years old today.
Dean, you're turning into me. Congratulations.
And tough getting old.
Brea Grant from Heroes and Dexter. She's 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. What's wrong, dude?
I just saw something I wish I hadn't seen.
What's that?
I'm afraid to ask.
Have you guys seen the video? It's gone viral now of the Cleveland Browns tailgate.
No.
Well, it was from when did they beat the Bengals? Was it this past Sunday? Right. So it's just from
past
Sunday.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys in the parking lot tailgating like they do, and somehow they filled up a plastic bucket with urine. And then the conversation gets around to exactly where you would expect, which is how much would it take for someone to dunk their head into that bucket of urine? And Phil is the guy who eventually, after some haggling, accepted the challenge. And he rips off his shirt and he douses himself in Purell before dunking, and I'm sure after as well. And there's some talk of $100, and then there's some talk of $200, and then there's what about my wife, and oh, she'll never find out, and then there's they settle on $450.
Not bad.
$450. He dunks his head, gets down on his knees, and just dunks his head right into a completely full bucket of urine.
Oh.
I do have some audio here.
Fantastic.
Just now heard it for the first time, so have your finger on the button in case anybody's yelling anything obscene from the... on the outside of the video, but here we go.
Woman, don't! Phil, don't do it!
This is what I love, by the way. When the friends are trying to talk Phil into doing it, all of them are saying, do it, do it! And then once he agrees to the $450 and he gets close to doing it, they're all like, don't do it, don't do
it.
I don't want to see it.
Hey, Phil! Hey, it's gotta be a good dog. Don't do it.
All right, so somebody, they get tired of him stalling, so they start a countdown. Here he goes.
Do it,
a And he puts his head in and it just splashes everywhere. He's only in there for a second. But like we always talk about, you can survive almost anything for a second. Even, you know, no matter how horrible it is, you're done. Like, he's done. Like, it's over now. And all he has to do is wash his head. He's got $450. I don't know.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it, I just said.
Muggs would.
But maybe it's not a bad idea.
$450?
It's a lot of dough, dude. I mean, that's a car payment or
it's,
you know,
sterile.
It's sterile.
It's a lot of scratch, man.
Maybe $450.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, he's tough to negotiate with.
Just, you got to make sure, like, you keep your eyes so closed and your mouth so closed and your nose.
Yeah, he didn't wrap his head in bandages or anything like that. I mean, there's no question that pee went into every orifice in his head.
It did.
It's in his ears. It's in his nose. It's in his eyes.
Probably went in his mouth.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it's worth it.
This is before the game?
Yes.
Before the game.
Yeah. And so, I'm also wondering, and I believe it's real. It looks super real to me. But how do you fill up, like? How is the decision made?
A lot of people.
Much earlier in the day was the decision made, all right, at some point we're going to talk somebody into putting their head in this, so let's all pee into this?
Probably, yeah.
Or maybe they always just pee in a bucket because they're in the parking lot for 2 hours.
Drinking beer.
Before they go into the game and they don't have any place else to go. Maybe that's what they always do.
What a bunch of girls you guys are.
You do it for $450?
Urine is sterile.
I know.
It comes out of your body sterile. Well, you know why they say it? Because it's science.
Well, I know, but then putting your head in it is a different thing than just acknowledging that it's sterile.
Yeah, but it's not like you're going to get anything from urine. You're much worse off walking bare feet in the parking lot than you are sticking your head in a bucket of urine.
It's still unpleasant, Ralph.
It's not. Yeah, it's unpleasant, but you're acting like, oh, my God, it went in every orifice. Oh, he had urine in his ears. Like, what possible difference could that make?
I don't know, but I don't want it.
But that's why they're paying you $450 to do it. If you wanted it, you'd do it for free.
Does that seem like a reasonable amount of money to do this?
Hell yes! $450 to dunk your head for a second in a bucket of urine?
Give me that deal every day.
You wouldn't do it. All day long, twice on Sundays.
You're talking big right
now. We'll hook it up. Fill up a bucket.
We'll hook it up.
I don't believe you, Ralph.
Well,
I don't believe you.
Well, you're wrong. Urine is like one of those least offensive bodily fluids. I'd rather stick my head in a bucket of urine than a bucket of spit.
Yeah, I think.
Totally.
But
I don't know.
Filled
yeah.
with bacteria
yeah,
that's true. And all kinds of heinous things that come out of the human mouth.
Yeah, that is true. But those aren't your choices either. Your choices are to stick your head in a bucket of urine or not stick your head in anything.
Or yeah. for a guy who's working on the line in Ohio making widgets.
True.
$450 in his pocket or not have $450 in his pocket. It's an absolutely good deal.
He can buy a lot of beer with that $450.
Hell yeah.
Make his own bucket.
Just saying, toughen up, ladies. That's all I'm saying. Toughen up.
I think the idea of it is worse than the actual chemistry of it or whatever.
Yes.
I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying. I wouldn't do it.
Really? You wouldn't be the guy who sticks his head in urine?
You wouldn't be the bold, adventurous guy at the tailgate party who would stick his head in a bucket of urine? And all of those things you wouldn't be before we got to the bucket of urine.
I'm not alone here. Kevin wouldn't do it. Lisa wouldn't do it. It's only you and Beer Mug at this point who would say yes.
But Ralph says yes sober. I think if I had a drink in me, that I'd go right with yes.
I think Phil has plenty of drinks in him in this video. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Everything's a good idea when you're drunk, funny, whatever.
All right, so Ralph says Phil made a good bargain there.
Absolutely. Right. Phil is a winner.
Ralph loves pee.
Phil is a winner today.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a little bit of a turn-on for Argar.
Yeah.
I love pee.
Yeah, that's the point of my story. Thank you once again, Kevin, for crystallizing my thoughts as I come in here.
You're welcome.
How much did you do it for $400? Look, I make more money than Phil does.
Yeah.
So it would have to be in terms of the proportion,
right.
The money I was getting, I'd have to make more than $450 because I don't need the $450.
Oh, now you wouldn't do it for $450.
No, but
that's
saying if it was
proportionate to my income, to whatever that is to Phil's income, then absolutely I would do it.
All right, what's your number then?
But I don't need the $450.
But that's not important what the number is. The proportion is what's... Yeah. I mean,
no, it is important what the number is because we need to set it up. That's why it's important what the number is.
I don't know, a couple grand?
That's pretty tempting.
Mug said he'd do it for $450.
Well, yeah, again, because Mug's would right.
$4.50, though, is what Muggs would do it for. That's proportionate to his income.
I've worked long and hard in my career to get above the $450 stick your head in a bucket of pee stage.
why are we interviewing the creator of Jersey Shore instead of arresting her? That's what I don't understand. Sally Ann Salzano joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Sally Ann.
Hey,
how are
you? Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No worries.
So you are the CEO of something called 495 Productions. Throw out a couple of names of shows that you guys have put on the air that will amaze people.
We did A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, The Tool Academy, Design Star, Dance Your Ass Off. You know, I'm running for public office, basically. I'm here to help America and help the youth in a way that no one else was able to.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you produce everything that's wrong with American TV. And nope. Yet, I watch all of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you know what? I'd rather produce it than be a part of it. But most of it, unfortunately, comes from your own life, which is almost scary. So I always say, I don't judge people, and sadly, I walk amongst my people.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I was one of those kids at the Jersey Shore. I have dated a few tools, you know. Like
you were never one of those kids at the Jersey Shore, though.
I kind of was.
Not one of them.
How did you break out? How are you now an adult who can have an actual conversation with people, and people take you seriously?
I know, it's kind of crazy. I don't know. It just kind of happened. Like, listen, I'm a CPA. I went to school to be an accountant. Everything seemed like on track. I was going to wear a suit and do my thing. And my first internship was at the Sally Jesse Raphael show.
Okay.
And on my first night, literally, they lost three hookers, and they were like, oh, my God, and everyone was freaking out. And I was like, I mean, I guess I could help. I'm an accounting intern, and sure enough, I found the three hookers.
You mean physically walked and found them?
There was no, like, BlackBerry. I had, like, a beeper, you know? And
there's no internet.
Yeah, there's no internet.
So you walked the streets.
Just literally walked the streets at night drinking, like, a Diet Coke, telling my parents I was working late, not mm-hmm. doing what.
Right.
And then I found them, and I called the producer, and she's like, okay, don't let them out of your sight. So which I thought meant sleep in their hotel room.
Of course.
So I stayed
Go
with
them on
and then
dates.
oddly, exactly. The next morning I was kind of like, I want to be a producer. And that was it. It's like this one night with three hookers can change anyone's life. You know how it goes.
So Sally, you've been in television for a long time. Didn't it seem like when Survivor kind of brought reality TV back to primetime, however many years ago that was, 15, 20 years, whatever it was, we all thought, well, this is fun, but it's going to burn out. At some point, people are going to lose their appetite for reality shows. But there have never been more reality shows on TV in history than there are right now, right? It just seems like it's an inexhaustible supply that people will watch.
I know. People always said to me, like, what are you going to do next? And what are you going to do next? And I think everything just goes through, like, this incarnation of itself. Like, again, I started working in daytime talk, which essentially is a reality show just in a 7-minute segment.
Sure.
And now if you look at every segment I did on Sally, it's a show. Oh my God, I didn't know I was pregnant. You know, 16 and pregnant,
right.
Teen moms.
Right.
It was all
That's
the
true.
Things that you did. I actually just got my binder from when I was a Sally Show producer
right.
sent to my house in L.A. And I'm like, I'm going through it, and I guarantee this is going to be my next stack of shows.
Wow.
It's in here.
So as a reality TV executive, does it kill you when some other station gets Honey Boo Boo?
Yeah.
You look at Honey Boo Boo and you go, oh, why didn't I meet them first?
There are some shows that you're just like, people run in a direction and go, thank God my name's not on that. I'm the opposite. I'm like, how is that not for me? Like, to me, people dream of winning an Oscar and an Emmy. For me, I dream of being the lead story on, like, Access Hollywood, and if I get the cover of In Touch or Us Magazine, it is like I have won, you know, the Olympics.
How did you miss the girl with two heads? How did you miss not getting that show? Brittany and Abby.
I know. Brittany and, oh my God, I love them, by the way. Their visual is so awesome. I just feel like they need to do more dating. Like, I want to see Brittany and Abby go out on dates.
Well, that was we've had long discussions about whether they have ever had sex, and if so, what that must be like for the other one.
Or ever will.
It's a bizarre situation.
Yeah, we used to do, there was a, back in the day on Sally, there was a couple named Lori and Dory, and they were attached at the head, and we used to always do dating stuff with them, and so it was like, well, you don't have to get dressed tonight because it's not your date, and like, it made sense when you would say it at the time, but like, it is weird, and they do live two separate lives and have two separate brains, but like, I don't know, I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's fascinating.
We have so much.
You're our
kind
of woman.
You really are, and I can already tell we're going to run out of time.
You love the bad, and I love the bad.
Just briefly, though, when you came up with the idea for Jersey Shore, it sounds like it was partly based on the people that you grew up with in that area, right? The people you knew that were going to be colorful and interesting on television, right? How could you tell among the, I assume, 1,000 people that wanted to be on that show, which were the right ones? Because they all look the same to us outsiders.
Can you smell douchebag?
Yeah, you could smell. I could smell it. I can't spell it. So here's the thing. I would say that it's just a gut instinct. And I would think one of the things that we do differently is, like, when we cast a show, like, I personally talk to every single person before they get on. Because I want to know, like, if I'm the one that's out in the field with them. Like, I lived in the house with those kids. Like,
oh,
that's it.
Oh, my God.
Like, I am, like crazy old Mrs. Garrett, like the old lady. That's like me in the back of the house. Like, I have monitors in my bedroom, and it's like having a baby monitor, and like when they stir, you stir. So all is quiet, you sleep. And I gotta tell you, I wouldn't change it for anything, but you just have to kind of follow your gut. And you know, when I had a shore house, you didn't have the internet, and you weren't like, this is who is in my shore house. You would go to the realtor and be like, so it's three single girls, you think you got a house with some guys that are hot? It was so stupid. And then you would show up with either like a bunch of guys with girlfriends, or like a bunch of losers, or you'd get a bunch of hot juice heads, and you would score. But in the end, the whole summer was based on bad decisions.
Sweet.
And that's kind of what it was. Like, you know, one of the guys is a guy that you date. One of the guys is a guy you always wanted to date that wouldn't date you. The other guy was a guy that screwed over your roommate. And as you would talk to these guys, they are just different incarnations of the people that I was with.
So when Snooki walked in the door to be on the show, did you know instantly this girl's magic? We got to put her on TV.
Okay, here's why I love Snooki. Because she had no idea that she was even remotely entertaining.
Right.
She was so wide-eyed and just like, I just want to fall in love. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm like, that's like the worst thing for any girl to say. Any girl that's on the prowl going, I want a husband and kids by 25. Run! Like, you yeah. know what that's going to look like at a few drinks. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not yeah. a good scene. Now, you know?
You've that known her for yeah. like 6 or 7 years now. The rest of America was horrified when we found out that she was pregnant. What's she really like as a mom?
You know what? I get this whole thing. She was horrified she was pregnant. People make it sound like she was 12 and in an alley with 10 guys.
No. We were horrified.
You were horrified.
Pregnant.
But yes. why? She's 20. I mean, she was 24
she's so
years old.
Stupid.
No,
she's dumb.
Actually, oh, come on.
No, don't tell us she's smart.
By the way, listen, she's not, you know, a member of Mensa, but like in the end of the day, like it's not, she's like one of us. If you take any one of us in our 20s and point a camera on us.
Well, for me, that's true.
For 30 sure. days and you don't move and add alcohol and add the environment, we would all look the same. I just say to them, I think what makes a hit reality show, if you think about like Honey Boo Boo, Sister Wives, Jersey Shore, like shows that have are not formats but have breakout casts, mm-hmm. the big thing is people who are like, this is who I am and I don't apologize. And when you mm-hmm. come back for season two and they're the same, great. No one wants to see those kids in season two like making good decisions. You know what? Let's sit around Jersey Shore season two. We all get internships and get jobs. Who's watching that?
No, you're right. So in other words, so we accepted the caricature, the way you edited Snooki to look on the first season of Jersey Shore, and that became our impression of what she was all about. But the reality is, the bigger picture is that she's not that. That's just one side of her. That's
yeah.
what you're saying.
I think like most people, we're all kind of bipolar-ish. And I think everyone has like a bunch of different sides. And I think Snooki, to me, is like a little sister in a sense. Like you just shake your head.
A little sister that you would use your back end on.
Well, at times,
okay.
if you need to, you know, whatever it takes. But in the end, like, they really are good kids from good families. And, you know, they want something more out of life. I just, you know, I don't think any of us expected this show to be what it was.
I can't imagine you could have.
No.
Like, it was no crystal ball. No one knew. And I assumed if I was lucky, I was coming back for a second season with, like, 8 new, you know, Guidos in a house.
Right.
I never thought that I would be, like, for 4 years living with those kids.
How happy were you at times when, like, Snooki ran into a police car in Italy? I mean, sometimes you just have to go, this is genius.
I thought I was going to throw myself off the building. Because Mike had just gotten out of the hospital from running his head into a wall.
Which was also awesome.
Yeah, except for when you're there and, like, the, what do you call it? The paramedics were standing over him and we had a translator because I don't speak the language. So as much as we make fun of them, I was just as dumb behind the scenes walking around.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, for sure.
You weren't.
So basically we're sitting there and the guy was like, the translation was, just stay with us. And I'm
like,
is this guy dying?
That would have been the best.
I was like, yeah.
Ratings week, through the roof.
Yeah, reality show funeral. Mike comes home in a box. But like,
you were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
You're excluded from life.
I know.
Situation. He was that close. No kidding.
So it was crazy. And then, like, we finally got that underway and got him home. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. Like, literally, everyone's going to the gym. I have to go upstairs and go to sleep. I have a treadmill in the control room with a pillow and blanket on it, which is where I, like, stay sometimes.
Right.
You know, because why walk on it?
Sure.
But, like, so I went up to my room and went to sleep. And I swear to God, my cell phone rings and the producer, like, you're not going to believe this. We're at blank, blank, and blank. Snooki got into a car accident. She actually doesn't even have her license. She doesn't know where it is. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And by the way, it's bumping and trumper traffic. The only way for you to get here is to run there. I'm like, okay, there's no running in my vocabulary. I'm never going to make it. I'm like, you know, 6 pounds of carbs deep. Like, it's not going to happen. It was crazy.
You must feel like a parent at some point. Like, oh my God, again?
You do. And they actually look... Like, literally, when you get there, she just looks at you. She's like, sorry, Mom. Right? As much as, like, they know, and it is. Like, there's a part of you that's like, of course you're aware of what's good TV. But then there's a part of you that's like, don't we have enough for 10 episodes?
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
and these are humans.
Yeah.
And these are humans that you care about that you don't want to see get hurt either, too.
And that's the difference. Like, they literally call me Mom. And, like, I talk to them probably in a way that's very different than even their own parents or the network or their agents. Because, like, listen, I get paid to make a television show, but I don't get paid off of them, per se.
Right.
So I would say sometimes my advice to them is more like, really, dude, who cares?
You can say that to every single cast member, every single show.
We have to take a break. Jersey Shore, by the way, is in its final season. It airs Thursday nights at 10 on MTV. When we come back, though, Sally Ann has a new show that we haven't even touched on yet that I think sounds fantastic, too, debuting tonight on Spike. It is called Tattoo Nightmares. More with our guest right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Smells like butt hair. K-Rock.
One of the creators of Jersey Shore and another show that airs again tonight, Tattoo Nightmares. Tell us about this.
I love this show because there's nothing like a bad decision that one that lasts forever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Bad decision, right.
You can't erase these. So I watch every tattoo show from LA Ink to Ink Master. Like, I watch them all. But in the end, you're always starting with fresh skin and going down. And the more I see people in my life and in my office are like, dude, what do you think of this? I'm thinking about covering it up. And sometimes the cover-ups make it worse.
Yeah.
It just makes it darker and bigger. And, like, in the essence, you see how people, like, it really affects their life. I'm like, dude, what were you thinking when you got it? Like, you really thought that girl from Vegas that one night, like, it was going to be something
hey,
special?
Hey, she loved me.
Yeah, exactly, in that 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But, like, and that's what this show's about. It's kind of like taking people's disaster pieces and turning them into masterpieces is basically what it is.
So you have three good cover-up artists, right?
And then
And then they just turn it into something better.
They do, but here's what's
kind of acceptable.
What I think makes the show kind of cool is, like, when people come in, they're like, the artists definitely go off on their tattoo and talk about what's wrong with it and why it's jacked. But then they're like, dude, how'd you get in this mess? And we actually shot reenactments, mini movies about their story that are super comedic. So that's awesome. They're in the chair getting their tats, you're hearing like, dude, it was a bad night. And you're seeing, like, the reenactment of that bad night. And then in the end, you're seeing, like, the before and after. And the thing that's cool is with a cover-up tattoo, you don't want to ever be able to see underneath. So after we show the after, we do like a laser reveal underneath to let it pop up to show people how it was. And it's kind of cool. Like, these guys are real artists, and I think they don't get enough credit because there's a lot of bad mistakes. I mean, that tribal ban was a huge thing that took on the nation, and they are thick, and they are black, and they are big. And they need to be covered up every... Yeah, exactly. Ding, ding, ding. I think that's a new show.
Black and big.
Yeah. Coming to you live on BET. But, like, you know, it's just kind of crazy. And I feel like being able to cover that up, it's kind of fun to see. And for me personally, I like hearing about everyone's bad nights.
What percentage of the bad tattoos started with alcohol? All?
Oh, my God. I don't know what's worth, alcohol or love. Like,
yes,
how
I was going
to
say, a lot of them have to be names of former lovers, right?
I know. That's like, as we were casting the show, I was like, all right, we get it. You fell in love and you got her name. There was one guy that I felt so bad for. He literally wound up getting his girlfriend pregnant. And she was so sure that he was not going to be supportive that when the baby was born, he got the baby's name and the baby's face tattooed straight across his chest.
Uh-huh.
And then she felt so guilty that she had to confess it wasn't his.
Oh, no.
Fantastic. That's my kind of TV
to you
right
live
there.
On Spike. But, like, it's just like those kind of stories. And then there's like the hopeless love stories. Then there's like a guy who, like, literally got a tattoo and he brought in this small thing and was afraid to look. And when he was done, the tattoo was so large and it was of a marijuana leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wanted, just a small one. And the woman that gave him the tattoo actually turned out to be legally blind.
Excellent.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like, so there's like in the reenactments and all the stories. But again, like, you know, that seemed like a good idea to who? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Just from, hey, I have a blind lady going to give me a tattoo. Like,
and then he goes out to look for a job and that makes it impossible, right?
Which is hence why I wanted the cover up.
I got you.
Aw, yeah. Yeah. See, that's how I'm helping the people.
You are.
The show sounds amazing. And by the way, there's no shortage. I mean, I imagine it wasn't that difficult for you to find people who were eager to have their tattoos covered up, right?
No, and especially not because of the talent that we have on the show. Like, the three tattoo artists that we have are actually, like, badasses in the industry and people that are known for, like, covering stuff up and do a good job. So you do that with, you know, a lot of these people, like, they don't have an extra 12. A cover-up could be a ton of money.
Yeah.
Because it takes so much more time, so much more drawing and everything. So, A, they don't have the money, and they're so afraid.
They're afraid it's going to be worse?
Yeah, I think once you've made that decision, then you're... I
mean, you don't trust yourself anymore?
Yeah, a good... Yeah.
Yeah.
But in this case, they have other people making the decisions for them, which I think helps.
Tattoo Nightmares is the name of the show we're talking about. It premieres tonight on Spike at 11 o'clock or 8, depending on what kind of cable or satellite system you have. We're talking to Sally Ann Salzano. Listen, we only have a minute left, but I have to ask. Before 495 Productions and you started Jersey Shore and all the other shows, you worked for a long time in the Bachelor series, right?
Yes,
you were a producer on The Bachelor.
I loved it.
Tell me about you have because we have
you
some people
to come
audition.
In with every new show you bring in.
You have no idea. Okay. That show is so wrong. It's right.
Could be.
Tell me what the deal is with those girls. Is it, hey, look at me? Is it, I want to be the princess? Is it, they really believe they're going to find true love?
Yes.
Is it, I just want to be
it
on TV?
Is,
tell me what's happening.
We always say
this. This sounds crazy. They freaking believe it.
They believe they'll
find
love.
And I will tell you, there are girls, when they walked in the door, I would look at them and go, they'd marry him or a lamp. Like, at some places, like, it doesn't even matter. There's just a certain look of a girl, but a lot of them are like, it's fate that I'm here. Or I'm like, or you submitted an application.
That's
you know
so
what
weird.
I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, it really is that hopeless romantic show. And, like, think about it. You're on a farm in Shreve, you know, in some weird town somewhere, and you really have made your way through the town, and all the good pickings are gone.
Sure.
Like,
mm-hmm.
What do you do?
But I think a lot of times that show really comes down to in a race with other girls to win this whatever it is.
Yes.
They don't care about
yeah,
love.
It becomes
they
a competition.
They want to beat the other girls.
Listen, every once in a while you get one in there.
Okay.
That is a little bit
But
like,
for
crazy.
The most part, they believe they'll find love.
They really do believe
love
they find
it.
Love.
I
and
may
even
start
the
watching
girls
now.
That are evil and are in it for the race, they don't think that they are.
Right.
And they're also in a completely artificial environment with the world's most perfect dates and scenery and the best looking guys to choose from and on and on and on too. So, I mean, it does kind of play with their heads a little bit, right? It's not reality.
I mean, it is and it's not, because in the end, the dates that, like, you know, I would go on with a guy normally involve like 2 hours and a dinner. Mm-hmm. A lot of these dates are like 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
So you're
yeah.
with that person. If by like 20 minutes in, you're like, that's nice. I think you're pretty. You're done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's also like, you know, normally it takes you, what, like 6 months before you meet someone's parents or a year? This
sure.
is like, you know, day 18. You're at the dining room table.
It's concentrated.
Yeah, it's yeah. concentrated, yeah. but you also know what kind of freak show you're walking
yeah.
into.
So fast. Sally Ann, we could talk to you all day long. I'm so sad that we're out of time, but you are fascinating. Tattoo Nightmares is the new show. It debuts tonight on Spike at 11 o'clock, 495productions.com if you want to find out more about all of the great shows that you have going on. Please come back and see us sometime.
We will. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Ralph, did you hear us talking The Bachelor with our guest a moment
ago? I did.
Ago?
I was dying to hear her take on what's happening with Courtney and Ben. They're splitting up. They said, oh, no, we're in love. Don't believe the rumors. Yeah, right. Now they're Splitsville, man.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of her returning the ring the other day.
Yeah.
So.
She told us almost all of them really believe they're going to find love.
I've always held that
Unbelievable.
Belief. I've always thought that.
Ralph Garbutt is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Bean Show. Then an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up next half hour. What's going on, dude?
Good news. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler have been named as this year's co-hosts of the 70th Annual Golden Globe Awards.
Great
we broadcast
course.
Live from the Beverly Hilton on January the 13th. Tina's a previous winner. She won herself for 30 Rock, and Amy's been nominated as well. So, good news for those guys, and I think good news for us who watch it, because they should be very funny.
You're right, though. That's the one award show where they really just liquor them up.
Yeah, it's a good time. I heard you guys talking about The Bachelor with Sally Ann, mm-hmm. and Bachelor News today just broke this story. ABC has won the discrimination lawsuit that was filed earlier this year by a couple black guys. Who
what?
Claimed they were dumped from the Bachelor casting call because they were black. They say ABC only casts white men on the show. So they were suing them for discrimination.
And it got dropped?
The court agreed with ABC that any casting decisions are part and parcel of a creative process behind a TV show.
Good.
And it's the right of the producers to cast anyone they want without explaining why certain cast members were picked or others were dismissed. You understand, it's a casting process, and the producers, by nature, have to pick the people that they want on the show. Plus, those guys were black, they said.
No, they didn't say that.
I don't think
that.
That's what they added at all.
The court did not say that. Plus, they're black.
They didn't.
I guess I agree with that. I wish that they weren't that way, though.
Why?
Well, because, I mean...
But for all we know, those two guys could have been the least interesting people on the planet, and all they're pointing out is their skin color.
And I don't care about those two guys at all, but I'm just saying season after season after season, there's such a tiny percentage of minorities on that show. It does seem like the show would be better if it had a wider variety of in the dating pool. That's all. I would like to see some more. I don't watch the show, but I would like to see more variety
of
dating pool.
Would you like to see that on a show you don't watch?
You shut up, then. Just shut the hell up.
What I'm saying is...
We know what you're saying. Shut the hell up.
It just seems like the girl, the bachelorette, for instance, there's 25 guys to choose from, and 24 of them are white dudes.
Okay.
I don't know.
What if she doesn't find black men attractive? It's just a personal thing.
That's possible. But every season they cast someone who doesn't find black men attractive? At some point you go, what's up?
It's not ridiculous to think that they've been all white bachelorettes. Maybe they want to date a white guy.
I think white people are stupider. So they just rise to the top of that kind of casting call.
I just think it's a creative process, and you don't have an obligation to hire any sex or minority or
which is what
majority
the court said.
Or whatever. Yeah,
I agree. I am agreeing with the court.
You want?
Here we go. It's on. Race war!
No, there's no race war.
Race war's
war.
On,
no.
Everybody!
No
it's
race
going
war.
Down.
We're, no, we're
it's
all okay. We're all good it's, over here. Thank you.
Race war.
No race war. We're good. Thank you.
Oh, I see. You all want to blame the brothers.
I couldn't get on Taste of Flava Flav, whatever, when I auditioned for that show. I couldn't get on that show. Is that because I'm white?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Linda Lohan in the news. She's hoping a beautiful young lady named Barbara Walters can help rehab her image.
Oh, she's doing Barbara Walters?
Yeah, she has reached out to Barbara saying she wants to do an interview. And the interview now is scheduled for November the 16th on ABC's News Magazine 2020. Not coincidentally, the interview will air right before the premiere of Lindsay's Lifetime movie, Liz and Dick.
Ah.
In which Lindsay stars as Elizabeth Taylor, so I'm sure Lindsay and Babs will have a conversation a lot about Elizabeth Taylor as well, about Lindsay's troubles. But I've been watching an interview with Lindsay Lohan. I sit down with Barbara Walters. Barbara, look, whatever you want to say about Barbara Walters, she's really good at those celebrity interviews. She actually brings out the best in her subjects usually, so I think it'd be an interesting interview. I'm looking forward to it. Good news for both fans of Sons of Anarchy and Dave Navarro. He has signed up to be a guest star on the final two episodes of this season's Sons of Anarchy over there on FX. He'll play a member of the Bizlatz gang who has close ties to Jimmy Smith's character, Nero. And so he will be not only appearing on the show, but also doing a cover of Sympathy for the Devil, the Rolling Stones song, for the season finale as well. So music and acting from Dave Navarro.
Great.
I'd buy Dave as a biker, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
He's got
more than I would Joel McHale, I'll tell you that. He's been guesting this season.
And while we're talking about the Rolling Stones, it has been made official. There's going to be a 50th anniversary Rolling Stones tour this fall.
What a surprise.
Exactly four shows.
What?
Will be the tour.
That's the tour?
That's all they wanted to. Yeah.
We're tired.
They're all 80, for God's sakes.
They're very old, Kevin.
They're doing two concerts at London's O2 Arena on the 25th and 29th and then they're of November. And then they're going to do two more shows in Newark, New Jersey at the Prudential Center on December 13th and 15th. So if you're a Stones fan, you're going to have to go to one of those four shows. That's it.
Now, I do hear, because I love the Rolling Stones.
Yes, and you love to stay current.
I do love to say correct. And when I saw that December 15th date, I thought, you know what? I might actually
want
to go
there. Shut up!
And then I saw that they were pay-per-viewing that particular concert. And I thought, oh, I can just stay home and watch it from home. So I'm happy now.
Yeah, right. But you would never go if they weren't pay-per-viewing that concert.
But I would think about it.
Right, but then you wouldn't.
I would look it up online to see what would be involved in going.
And then you wouldn't go.
I wouldn't pull the trigger. But I did have the thought, man, I'd love to be there. I'd love to see that. It could be the last Stone show ever.
Yeah, Beerbot had the thought I should bet football, too, and he didn't.
But I love
the
story.
Not a story.
Not a story.
But pay-per-view. Now I can see it, though. So
speaking of pulling your trigger, Bean, I do want to let you know today is the final day of entries for the World's Smallest Penis Contest in Denmark.
If you want to get your entry in, today is the final day for entries. So I just want to give you a little heads up there, buddy. I want to help you out to let you know.
What are they giving away, like an iPhone 5 or something?
I don't know what the prize is this year, but I do know the competition is on, and today is the deadline for entries. So world's smallest penis competition in Denmark.
Yeah, I've been deemed ineligible on many occasions for that.
You're a ringer. You're a ringer. So we can't let him in. He's too much of a champ. No one can beat him. No one can beat Bean's small penis size.
Penis.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brea Grant of Heroes and Dexter is 31 years old today. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 50. Tim Robbins turns 54. David Zucker, the man who brought us Airplane and the Naked Gun movies, turns 65. Bob Weir from the Grateful Dead, he is 65 years old. And actress Suzanne Summers is 66 years old today. Still working out with the Thighmaster every day. Just squeezing that Thighmaster. She works that Thighmaster. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, you were talking earlier today about how you'd be happy to put your head in a bucket of urine for the right amount of money.
Yeah.
And the listeners are really latching onto that idea. In fact, one has made a great suggestion that we do something where we raise a bunch of money at Acoustic Christmas, where you pay like $10, $20, whatever it is, to pee into the bucket. And then, you know, however much money we end up raising, then you stick your head in the bucket, and then half the money goes to the Acoustic Christmas charities. You get the other half. What do you think?
Not with our listeners. No, because it'd be like meth and heroin and chlamydia and gonorrhea. I mean, there's one thing. I mean, you got a group of friends at the tailgate. You know, you're pretty sure that these people are reasonably clean.
Right.
I would not just take random urine from our listenership and put my head in there, because when I pulled my head out, it'd be nothing but a skull.
Oh.
It would be like sticking your head into a tub of battery acid, you just come, hydrochloric acid. You come back and look like the Nazi at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. My face would just melt off.
All right. Well, we're going to table that idea for right now and get back to you then. Thank you very much. Time for the final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday, Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Good news for Kevin.
Yes.
Scarlett Johansson is a single woman again. She had been dating her boyfriend, Nate Taylor, for about a year, but it's all over. A source tells People.com he's pretty upset. Yeah, I bet he is. So you're eating filet mignon for a year, and suddenly they give you a can of Alpo. You're like, what the? But
I was
eating so well for so long. However, Kevin, you may have competition already.
How's that? You just announced
at this year's Democratic National Convention, Scarlett was seen holding hands with former boyfriend Jared Leto. Now, maybe they're just pals. Maybe they're just friends. Maybe they're just political animals traveling in a pack. Or maybe he's giving her 30 inches to Mars. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that means.
You don't think our little friend Derby Hooves can take on Jared Leto?
I think Derby Hooves has a chance. We'll have to wait and see. By the way, have you seen the artwork of Derby Hooves from My Little Pony Kevining?
No, I don't know.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, yeah.
What that is?
Derby Hooves is one of the ponies on My Little Pony. Okay, Friendship is Magic. He's sort of the idiot of the cast.
I'm the idiot of a children's show?
And so someone, since Bean tagged you that, took the character and did an amazing piece of original art of Derby Hooves Kevining.
I haven't seen
that. That will go into the gallery in the place of honor, of course, because Kevin is attacking the bronies and we'll have none of it.
Because Ralph is a secret brony.
Hey, you know that Honey Boo Boo?
Yeah.
Oh, she's cute. Isn't she cute? That little 7-year-old darling. She's America's darling.
Adorable.
Isn't she adorable? Here's the
thing. I love her.
If you look at her for more than about 3 minutes, you can see the obese redneck woman inside her. You can just.
I'm only 6 and I've already had 3 heart attacks, girlfriend.
You can just see it. You can say, yeah, she's sort of cute now, but just add about 20 years to her and she's going to be Mama June.
20 years and 200 pounds.
And she's going to be obnoxious because she's had all this attention as a 7-year-old.
Yep.
Don't take my word for it. She was in town this week because she was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. And yesterday morning, she was on the local KTLA morning show. Here she is doing an interview with Sam Rubin. Mama June prompts her to sing a little bit to show off her pipes because she's so talented.
Right.
That may have been a poor decision in retrospect. You want some audio?
I don't. I'm
got any audio?
Muggs is looking at all kinds of other stuff. I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I was told you guys had the audio.
Okay, we do.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Do. All right, here we go.
I do help a lot with the grandbaby. Bye. So we're very proud of her for that. And
how about
Alabama, forget us three.
No, absolutely.
Holy cow.
And are there ever, because I have this with my kids, are there ever, this is cute.
God.
Why?
Why don't they either shut up and let her sing or make her stop?
What now?
Yeah. Honey Boo Boo has some holiday specials coming up.
Yes.
Plus, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo is Wednesday nights at 10 on TLC.
We're on hiatus right now.
Okay. But now, isn't it funny that you even know the word hiatus?
Yeah. We've been in the business. Well, not, we've been in it for like 10 months. So you learn it.
Right. You do learn it.
Hey, Honey Boo Boo.
Was this fun or not fun?
Jury's still up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was tough.
That was on TV.
That happened.
Wow. Yeah.
Now listen,
congratulations to KTLA.
I have to give her a little bit of a break because it's almost impossible to listen to Sam Rubin
that's true.
And to pay any attention to him. But still, that is that's obnoxious behavior.
That's terrible television, and even worse, radio. But isn't the thing that strikes in your mind? You listen to the little 7-year-old Alana, and you go, "That little girl right there, that obnoxious, annoying little girl, is going to be pregnant in like 6 years."
Yeah,
it's weird to think about. She's going to be having a baby soon.
She is going to best her mother's record of what age becomes a grandmother. I guarantee you.
June was 15.
Yeah, but she's a grandmother at 33, right?
Right. Grandmother at 33, yeah. Right?
I think Honey Boo Boo will best that record.
I think you're right.
I think she'll crush it, as a matter of fact.
By about 15 years?
She'll be like a 23-year-old grandmother. That's what I'm guessing. That's my number in the pool.
Honey Boo Boo's sister Chickadee at least waited until she was 17 to have her first baby.
Lindsay Lohan! Trying a former child star, who at 7, I'm sure, was just as pleasant as Honey Boo Boo. Is trying to get her career back. Step one, rehabilitate her public image. How do you do that? Well, you sit down with Barbara Walters and you cry. That's what I'm guessing.
Sob.
I bet there will be tears.
Why is everybody so mean?
What about your father? What about your father, Wimby? What's your relationship like with your father? And she'll just cry and America will love her again. She's sitting down with an interview with Barbara Walters on November the 16th. Which, just I'm sure, is a coincidence, happens to be just before the premiere of her Lifetime movie, Liz and Dick.
Well, that's a good coincidence for her, then.
Where she talks about her role as Elizabeth Taylor. Lindsay also, in a story on Radar Online, where Dr. Anthony Yun, who is a world-renowned plastic surgeon, looks at photos of Lindsay and breaks down what she's done recently to her face and what the reaction has been. He suggests that she went overboard on the fillers. You know how the women love the fillers?
I don't know what that is.
The fillers, Kevin, are what ladies will inject into their face when they're trying to puff up wrinkles or if you want to plump up your lips, give yourself a more sexy pout. You put the fillers into your lips and into your skin. He believes she went overboard on the fillers. In fact, now, this is just his observation from the photographs. Believes she's had an allergic reaction to the treatment because she is rocking a huge pair of lips these days. And the doctor compares them to a pair of kielbasa.
Oh, my God.
A pair.
And thinks she could benefit from the help of a therapist, not a plastic surgeon, according to Dr. Yun. Not the first time kielbasa and Lindsay's lips have been connected in a sentence, by the way, but not in that particular sense, so. We'll have to wait and see. Have you seen the new Neiman Marcus holiday catalog?
I have not.
It's not too early to start shopping for the holiday.
It is, actually.
No, it's not. Hmm. Christmas is right around the corner. Christmas is a-knocking. And it's time for you to answer and get to work because...
Tuesday night, guys, was the first, at least that I saw, of the actual Christmas shopping commercials on TV. During Parenthood, they ran a Target Christmas ad with the tree and the lights and the presents on the ground, the whole deal.
Yep,
it's here.
Here we go.
It's happening.
Neiman Marcus every year has their fantasy gift section of the catalog.
Right.
Where you can, if you really want to impress someone, you can put out a couple bucks and give them something interesting. For example, a walk-on role for the Annie the Musical on Broadway, $30,000 if you want to have your loved one appear on Broadway. $30,000. How about a water-propelled jetpack?
Bean?
Boo.
What do you mean, boo?
What?
Water-propelled jetpacks, I hate. You know that. I hate them.
Of course we know that.
They're cheating.
Easy, man.
You know that.
You know that.
Because you got to be attached to the goddamn tube.
We've
That's
read,
not
read the
jetpacking.
Dossier. Absolutely.
No, they're bogus. It's like training wheels. Screw it.
You can reach a top speed of 32 miles an hour. Get up to 30 feet in the air.
Hate it.
Or up to 4 hours and 80 miles on a single tank of gasoline.
There you go.
Want it to die.
You could do it either way, Bean.
Just $99,500.
Ralph and I are going to have to take it back, Bean, if you don't.
Yeah, what are we going to do? Really against it. Hope you save the receipt, because I don't have it anyplace.
I don't save receipts.
Prices are not exactly coming down on jetpacks either, by the way.
No, they're not. There's not a jetpack in every pot, if that's what you're looking for. The top gift this year from the catalog, they always have one spectacular gift. It is the His and Hers Poetic Wish Watches by Van Cleef & Arpels. The watches include a trip to Paris, France, and Geneva, Switzerland.
What?
Aren't you really buying trips there and they throw in the watches? That's but apparently they're couching it the other way around. $1,090,000 if you want those special watches and the trips to Paris and Geneva.
I don't know. It seems like you could get to Europe a lot cheaper than that.
Sure does.
Yeah. There better be a hooker wearing a watch waiting for me in Paris if that's what I'm paying.
Only the watch.
Just that.
Do you guys get the idea that anyone actually buys that stuff, or are they just talking points? I mean, do you think people will shell out a million?
I don't.
If you have $1 million to spend, you could go a lot cheaper, like Ben said.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the other catalogs, what did you say that was, Neiman Marcus?
Neiman Marcus.
One of the other ones came out this week, like Nordstrom or something like that, and they've got a $100,000 hen house. I mean, I think it's just to get the word in the media that they're Christmas catalogs.
They're looking for a $100,000 hen house.
Sure.
It's great news.
Just advertising, right?
Oh, it's this one, Bean. It's Neiman Marcus, yeah. The mini farm.
Oh, they have it. Okay.
Yeah, the mini farm. They've got, let's see. You get an initial consultation with Heritage Hen Farms. They give you 10 hens, 2 custom-designed installed vegetable or herb gardens, a multi-level dwelling for your hens that includes a living room and a brood room where the hens sit on their eggs, a library with books and a chandelier, all in the hen house. $100,000.
Worth it.
Yep, absolutely.
So your chickens live better than you do, basically.
Absolutely. And the Hulkster's back in the news. People still talking about that sex tape that leaked on Gawker.com recently. We just saw a minute of it. That's all they posted. But that was enough to cheese off the Hulkster, enough to sue them. He is asking for damages to the tune of $100 million.
Only that much?
That's all.
Huh.
He's also suing Bubba the Love Sponge. No, that's not the failed contraceptive sponge that his partner was using in that video. That's the name of a DJ in Florida. It was his wife that the Hulkster was sleeping with on that video, with Bubba's consent and full knowledge.
I'll be in the office if you need me.
However, the Hulkster said he didn't know he was being secretly filmed during that encounter, and now he is suing both Bubba the Love Sponge and the ex-Mrs. Sponge, Heather Clem, for what he is calling severe and irreparable injury which cannot be adequately compensated by monetary damages. So I have no idea what he's actually suing for. It doesn't sound like he's suing for a particular amount, but...
Odd.
Maybe he wants like an arm or something. Money won't do it, so give me your foot. And he brings out a chainsaw.
As you pointed out earlier, you'd be hard-pressed to find the damage to Hulk Hogan in this story.
Yeah, it's been the best thing that's happened to him in 20 years. Since he was Thunderlips in that Rocky movie. No one's been talking about him that much. Thunderlips, also the name of his girlfriend in that video, by the way.
You got to be cool and eat fruit.
You eat some fruit, why don't you? It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs in stores today. Here's what you can pick up. I almost got the wrath of Bean again.
Uh-oh.
I mistakenly announced earlier today that Taylor Swift's new album, Red, was released today. It's next Tuesday.
With my T-swizzle information.
I apologize. Tadoff Switler has yet to march on Austria. We have to wait another week for that. Former Lives by Ben Gibbard. New CD out today. DVDs, That's My Boy, starring Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg. Madagascar 3, Chernobyl Diaries, 2016, Obama's America, and Moonrise Kingdom, who I mistakenly attributed to Paul Thomas Anderson earlier today. It's Wes Anderson is the director of that film. Yeah. It's a great film. Bruce Willis, Bill Murray star in that film. Really entertaining. I really enjoyed it. You can pick it up on DVD today. If you're behind on your TV shows, you can get Mad Men Season 5 on DVD. Kevin, you want to catch up on the fifth season of Mad Men?
Yeah, I'm on that.
Are you? Yeah. Have you seen any more than one episode yet?
No. I don't have time.
You have so much time.
Nothing. Got no time.
Go to one less loud movie and stay home and watch some Mad Men. Psych Season 6, available in a box set. Touch, the complete first season.
That I watch.
And Touch, you got plenty of time
touch
for.
Touch is good.
Not for Mad Men, but plenty of touch time.
It's good.
And by touch time, I mean Alcatraz, the complete series, also available. Today's celebrity birthdays, Brea Grant. She's just adorable. She was on Heroes. She was the fast one. Remember, she was really fast on Heroes? She could,
The
Flash, she could run away and you wouldn't see her. Dexter, She was also in that last season, 71. She looks good for 71.
Wow, she does.
Season 7. 31 years old today. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 50 today. Actor-director Tim Robbins is 54. David Zucker, the creative mind behind the Naked Gun films and Airplane, is 65. Bob Weir, guitarist for the Grateful Dead, is also 65 years old today. And Suzanne Summers was a big, big TV star back in the day with Three's Company. Now she's best known for squeezing a large spring between her knees. She's 66 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We also have Joe Rogan in studio, comedian, UFC.
We're bringing the crazy strong tomorrow. I love it.
And we're going to talk to Chuck Lorre on the program tomorrow. Of course, the creator of Two and a Half Men and a bunch of other shows. His new book is called What Doesn't Kill Us Makes Us Bitter. Is the name of the book. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow
morning.
Oh, I hope
he fires us and then has to pay us $100 million.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.